And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
I'm back! Yes, gone this weekend to Pennsylvania, so yo, what's up? The James Babin friends out there returned the favor of him coming to Phoenix. Say hello. You know, I feel, you know, in retrospect, I feel really bad for James. It's like hours of me in a car! You know, it's talking, you know, that's one thing when we do the show, I got my headphones on, and I'm in my own little world, and I get to express myself through my voice. I go up and down and up and down, and mostly up, up, up. And Donna's over there working, and she's, you know, and one time, she always, when the phone rings or something, she has to go out there and do it, and like, no, Ernie's doing this. Oh, my God. This is, oh, my God. So, you know, and the kids come over, and they're, oh, my God. Now, what is going on in there? Who's he yelling at? You know, it's like, it's like what you do, you know, you're watching the news or something, you just yell at the TV so you don't watch it. So I'm sorry, James, hopefully your ears are okay. It was good to see all the guys there in Pennsylvania and his wife Christina and everything, which is looking great. I was telling Donna, I'm going, you know, you should ask her, you know, what the skin thing is. This is one thing, as you get older, you know, you see certain people, they have just, you know, good muscle tone, skin tone, their hair this, their nails that, and kind of go, ooh, what do you do this? What do you do that? And as time goes on, you start to see it's not just a genetic thing. You know, it's a regimen thing. Grandma showed me, you know, the oatmeal, de la, you know, lick a frog stuff, you know, and you start to accumulate this information. So Donna has been, you know, that's where the soap stuff came from. We're just kind of, yeah, you know, just ew. You know, that it just seems like it's like we're smearing a man all over us, and, you know, it's not good. You know, there's something else. And then all of a sudden, you start eating right, you start doing this right. And my hair starts coming back. I mean, you may not notice here, but you know, I look at wedding pictures for my daughter, and I go, well, hell, that was only, you know, what, 4 years ago or something, three, whatever. I go, I have more hair than then, don't I? I think so. And I look and I go, yeah. You know, I even see when, you know, I turn around, you see me here, I'm turning around and stuff, you know, on the board and everything, and I go, ooh, that little bald spot, it's not so bald anymore, and I got my hair cut shorter. So this is, and that's what got my daughter-in-law and my son kind of motivated to do aquaponics. Vanity. She's looking at him, she's going, hey, man, you know, dad's getting, you need to, you know, eat a carrot or something. So this is, and that's just an outward appearance of something else. You know, it's a nutrition thing. So we start noticing, you know, which kid, which grandkid, how do they, you know, fare differently and different chemicals affect and so on. And I just, you know, quit trying to, it's a landmine out there. You know, why would you just start eating right and doing things right and so on. So it's just, you know, I'm, you know, and Donna is, so she goes and she gets out her one of her scrubbers. Now I'm telling secrets here. You know, so she's like, well, I've been so busy, I haven't been. She goes in and spent, go ahead and come on the mic, baby. There's a bunch of stuff I want to talk to you about this weekend anyway. But the, let's put it up. How long did, what is that stuff that you did? Because, I mean, all of a sudden, you lost 5 years. I mean, it just went bam.
It's from Beauty Control. I got it, gosh, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years ago. It's when my son-in-law's mother does this thing, and I kind of got into it because I really like the products, and I haven't used it literally since we've moved here. So I thought, yeah, I'm looking kind of tired, and you know, I haven't done anything for myself for a long time.
Didn't you think that made like a big giant difference?
It made a difference. I don't know how much really, because I still look
totally
tired.
Different.
Tired, but yeah, it's microdermabrasion. It's a little scrubber thing that goes around, and it has this stuff that you put on it, and it's very, very fine. It's kind of like a buffing
thing,
you know.
This is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest Liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at LRN.fm.
Liberty activists around the country are starting to realize politics alone won't set us free. So what will?
I guess I'll just, you know, turn off the Comrex to return there, and you can go ahead and call them.
Okay.
You don't have to talk about your skin, I guess.
Anyway, that's what I had to say. It does feel better, but yeah, I think maybe if we'll do a test.
Well, you need to, you know, find out what's in that stuff, or we can, you know, kind of add that to it or something, you know, because Tim's mom.
I can
mom,
go get the jar.
You know, we'll work on it. Add it to your thing. See, that's one thing I want to do is just, it's just, I noticed that our outward appearance is, I mean, I don't give a crap what you look like. That's not the point. You know, it's just there's so many ways to regulate health. And I remember my grandmother, her big thing was eyes. You know, she just, come here, let me look at your eyes. You know, it's like, the doctors that used to pull your eyes around and all that kind of stuff. They don't do that anymore. They just bang you on the head with a clipboard and the bill. And you know, we're done. And we're done. So I'm going, you know, so this is the kind of things we're working on to help people. You know, it's Phoenix Aid. We got the logo and so on. I'm going, it's a health thing. There's no sense in having, I'm free to die. I mean, you know, I just want to be that we're doing healthy. And I was looking at myself while I've been traveling in the airport bathrooms. And I go, and then, of course, in the hotel, you're getting ready and doing all that kind of stuff. And I go, one thing that I noticed, I was darker than a lot of people because they're in Philadelphia. And I go, God, man, I must live in Phoenix or something. So, you know, this is sun has a lot to do with, you know, the kind of the damage that we have, too. So it got to the point, though, in Arizona, you do so much sunscreen that we have a vitamin D deficiency. And that's one thing Dr. Tamburi was talking about before we've had him on. He goes, you know, the highest instance of skin cancer a lot of times is in Arizona. Yeah, sun. He goes, no. Everybody puts on sunscreen, wears hats all the time, and they run sprint from mall to car, and they never get any sun. So we've kind of been cut back on the sunscreen a little bit on the kids and stuff. You know, it's okay. Let's let them have a little bit of sun, you know, what the heck. So these are the kind of things that I really are starting to, I'm paying attention to. And it's not just because I'm getting older. It's because, you know, I see we're guinea pigs for the pharmaceutical and cosmetic industries. And a lot of times, if you just take all this crap off and stop using their stuff, eat right, you have an immediate impact. You know, you can tell things are changing. And so I bring that up because this is the kind of focus Don and I are really starting to shift towards. We're starting to notice a lot of our things on health. It doesn't do us any good to, you know, advocate for all this disease and problem of government if we're not taking care of ourselves. So we're kind of focusing on that. And one thing that, what's another product you're kind of going to be doing after the soap? You kind of got that dialed in. I'm really hip to that soap.
I would like to do things like lip balm and hand cream and face cream. I mean, I got to do some research on that. I know there's some natural things out there, but you got to package it in a way that it can, you know, actually be shipped and it'll last a while and stuff. So I don't want to be putting a lot of bad things in it, but yeah, I need to research some natural ways to do those products.
Well, the soap, we got, you know, some retail outlets say, hey, we need to start... production.
I've got, like Endless Food Systems is going to have a shop or a show, you know, a show area, and he, at the Freedom Summit, he saw my soaps and how they were packaged and stuff, and he liked them and everything, and so he asked me if I would put them in there as well, and there's some natural markets around the valley that a friend of mine goes to, and she said that they were really interested in doing that as well, so I need to really get on the soap thing.
Yeah, no, we're going to be focused on a lot of this stuff. When we come back, we'll go ahead. Let me see how the network is.
Problem with anarchy.
Oh, they're not timed in, right? We'll go ahead, and when we come back, we'll go ahead and make sure that we got, I don't know what they're doing. When we come back, we'll make sure that we get in our weekends, because Jack McLam, it was Officer Friendly, the original, he died this past month, and they had a memorial service for him Saturday that Donna and Pete Iyer went to, and a bunch of the guys. And I was in Pennsylvania, and we got some of the pictures from the Freedom Summit scrolling. We'll be right back.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Welcome back. We're back. Yeah, LRN, Ian just didn't get the note that I was going to do a show today. A lot of times I take Monday off, so I'm just like, I'm here. So he's got it taken care of. So, what do you have to say? He goes, oh, oops, I was on, I was at Liberty Forum, right?
Yeah, he was at Liberty Forum, and he just didn't get the email, so.
All right, well, that's good. Well, we got some, we'll just run some of the summit pictures, you know, and, you know, you guys get to see what was up. Yeah, we didn't have, I think I have some from the parties. You know, who wants to take pictures? I mean, you know, you want Freedom Summit, go.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there are pictures out there. They're just having, you know, this is what we had from our camera.
Yeah, no, I think Pete Iyer had a bunch of stuff, too. Yeah, he went to Jack McLam's thing this weekend, too.
Yes, he did.
You know, tell everybody, okay, let me say who Jack McLam is, and then you'll see there's a big deal. You know, Sheriff Mack was there giving a spiel. Rick Dalton, I remember, was aiding a bet newsletter that worked with him. He was a Mesa policeman that worked with him, and Jack McLam was Phoenix police, and they just, you know, it's kind of the cop block kind of guys from the inside, and they were, it was like, no, they became policemen for a specific, uphold the Constitution, be good guy, good Christian, good neighbor, good kind of not this us versus them thing. And it just, no, it's a thin blue line defending the man or something. And that they didn't play that. And I've been working with them since early 90s. I mean, you know, we had done a lot of things. And so when he moved to Idaho, he still was doing his radio show, and he would speak at many events. And in fact, he spoke at the Revolution March in July of 08. You know, Dr. Paul, the big speech where Adam Kokesh, you know, kind of came on the scene and all that kind of stuff. Jordan Page and a lot of the guys, Charles Goyette is there, Chuck Baldwin, Ron Paul, of course, and Gary Franchi, and I emceed that. And it was just, you know, great to see Jack McLam there and him. You know, he gives a really good presentation. He was the original Officer Friendly. And it was because he wouldn't toe the line, so it's like, you know, quit or you're walking the beat, you know, in South Phoenix in the hood, and kind of goes, I don't care, you know. Why would they? I'm just Officer Friendly. I'd be a nice guy. And he became popular, and he'd do a lot of school stuff and everything. But they kept firing him. I think he was the most hired and fired and most highly decorated officer. It was amazing. It's just a machine, because he wouldn't give up his database to aid and abet, which is a Police and Military Against the New World Order newsletter. He did. He was famous for, or infamous, depending on your perspective, on doing Vampire Killer 2000, and they kind of updated it, and it was Vampire Killer 2012, I think, that they did also. And it was just a warning, and it all boiled down to one thing. Jack McLam made the point. He goes, when the New World Order, global, we kind of, you are subjects, and we rule you, and here's a gun, that is going to be implemented by the tip of the spear, which is going to be a militarized local police force. And that's what he was warning against. And every step, when they did the multi-jurisdictional task forces that, you know, evolved into this fusion center and Department of Homeland, federal, we rule you thing, when they did that, it was becoming obvious that he was right and that was the big threat. And so that was a big opposition that we had with the federalization and the DEA, you know, links of Sheriff Arpaio and them getting helicopters and them getting forward-looking infrared radar, you know, infrared capability on the helicopter. Oh, we'll find lost hikers. I mean, you know, I'm going, yeah. And then, you know, so it's just all this stuff, and it's the attitude and the tank, and then they put a 50 caliber on it, and I'm going, wow, man, wow. So all this stuff, it was warned, and it was evangelized against by Jack McLam.
And they had a memorial for him here, even though he's in Idaho, because he was so well known here. And tell us about it, Donna.
Well, there was probably about 100 people here, some family members, some friends. There was Navy. They presented the flag, and also representatives from the Phoenix Police Department. They presented the flag as well, played taps and that kind of thing. And they had a very short video, but it was a lot of people. Some of them told the story, and I can't remember who, about how he became the original officer friendly. I mean, he was put in South Phoenix, which is, if you know anything about Phoenix, it's the hardest, it's the worst, the crime ridden place of the city.
It's poor.
And he was, afraid to get out of his car. Kids are throwing rocks at him and stuff. They didn't like the cops because, it's a bad area. So anyway, he goes, we need to fix this. Instead of running away or just, I don't want to be here or doing the spreck my authority thing, he goes, we need to have some community outreach. We need to help these people understand that we're here to protect and serve. He always, he really liked wearing his uniform. He really, had a lot of respect for the police and stuff. And what they were supposed to be doing was community service. He was really about that. And so he went into the schools and the kids were just kind of ignoring him and stuff. And so he brought in an alligator and a snake just to get their attention, which kind of broke the ice. And from there on, it just kind of became a thing. And the administration didn't really like what he was doing. But I think a lot of the policemen in the force were interested in it. I mean, they, were at that time. I think this was back in the 80s or maybe early 90s or whatever when he was doing that. That was still a mentality. The police were to protect and serve instead of this law enforcement thing. So that was his mission, was to help people and that kind of thing.
Well, he got in trouble because they'd have a lot. It'd be IRS has a lien on it. We're going to serve in this guy, and it's a federal law. And you need to be traffic cop and kind of stop and hold the yellow tape line, kind of be over here, blah, blah, blah. And it was just, no. I'm not helping you enforce federal, kind of doesn't have, because he understood the Constitution. So and then he would write about this. He goes, look, let me tell you what's happened at the rubber meets the road level in local law enforcement. And there was no internet. It was, if you didn't get it from somebody saying inside newsletter to whatever, you didn't, and other people were feeling this way, and other people were noticing it. Other people were sending him letters about what was happening. He would accumulate that information and put it in a newsletter and send it out to his database, and they wanted the database. And he goes, no. And they go, yeah? Well, you're fired. Okay, let's go to, I don't know what they call it, the human resources, whatever union something thing. And they go in, and they had no good reason. It's just because he wouldn't comply, with the unlawful order that he had to give us. So it just became a thing, back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth. And it became such a thing that it separated the law enforcement and the police community here with the constitutional people that gave them the authority to even be there. And it just became such a beginning of an understanding of what was coming. And you always think, why always Arizona? What the hell, Arizona? It must be in the water. No, it's what wasn't in the water. So, which is another big deal. This fluoride thing has always been a big deal. And I always wondered, why? And it was, people would send me all kinds of stuff and things. And it was best explained to me by Rick Tompkins, a state chair of the Libertarian Party back then. He goes, it's forced medication. No matter what it is, it's a government forcing you to have a chemical in your brain. Good or bad, it's not even the point what does your teeth. It's just forced medication. This is like a bad sci-fi movie, and I'm going, ow. And some bells started ringing.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges start a conversation with your neighbor or your doctor or your family or your school. Now there's teachers and lawyers and business executives, and they all wear shiny badges and they all reject the state. Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges show the world that you reject coercion and aggression and oppression by the state. Shinybadges.com.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
call, text Ian. Hey, Ian. Donna's going to call you and see if you can give us an update of what happened at Liberty Forum, you know, because we were, like, busy. The Jack McLam event, Sheriff Mack got up and did, you know, what for, you know, describe what he had to say.
I'm sorry, can you, I wasn't
Sheriff
listening.
Sheriff Mack. Oh, you can text him. Go ahead.
He just talked about how, I can't remember if it was him, he talked about how he got to know him and stuff, but how they had a common goal of, you know, protecting and serving, even though they were in different capacities, Sheriff Mack as a sheriff. And
Oh, the pictures, this is John and Kat's kids. They, you know, kept them entertained out in the lobby so they wouldn't make noise around this little wagon. They just did the head bob thing and winked out. Boom. Donna got pictures of them sleeping. Probably shouldn't have done that.
That was cute. You can't miss that.
Nah. They're like, oh, adults are talking. Never mind. Okay, I'm sorry. Yo, Sheriff Mack is talking about the common goal.
Just to protect and to serve, and how they saw the issues with the higher-ups in government and stuff, and how they're both very much constitutionalist and stuff. So they crossed paths. I think they probably had a lot of speaking engagements and stuff. And Sheriff Mack was very emotional about it. He had to he had another engagement that he had to make arrangements so that he could come to this event, and then he had to leave early. But he made the effort, and it was good to see him.
Well, I'm glad Pete got to go. Cop Block got to meet the original inside officer-friendly cop blocking kind of guy. Right, that's a generational transfer there.
Yeah, you're saying Jack McLam was the original Oath Keeper. He was, you know, keeper of the Constitution for whatever you think about that. He still, I think, he had a good heart. He wasn't into respect my authority. It was more of community service. He saw himself as a servant. And he lived it.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, we were good friends. I really enjoyed. And we got to, I think I did, they did a Facebook thing. And what I did is I went ahead and put up all the interviews that he and I had done before. Because when I first started doing radio, his was one of the stories that I wanted to tell. And we did a multiple part series. It was like, it had to be at least five episodes, and it was, 5 hours. I mean, I'm sorry, 2 hours each one. I mean, we did at least four or five times. I have him come on with his entire story from the beginning to the end. And I go, all right, man, do it.
I'll try to find it, but they did post it up there. I sent it to somebody on Facebook saying who we were, and I'm sure they probably knew.
Yeah, no,
they put it up, yeah.
And it was, but, it didn't go to anybody because it's Facebook now. But the that's another thing. I'm really hammering on that. Everywhere I go, I talk, okay, well, how's your guys' database? How do you do, who do you know? How do you got, well, we got this many friends, and we do. A lot of companies, even their entire web existence, their web page is a Facebook page. They don't even have a web page. It's just a Facebook page. And I'm going, wow, man, we're going to start a campaign. It is, freaking everybody gives the email. I'm going to put it as a regular thing on top of something, because I am very frightened that it's just a flip of a switch when you need it the most. And you don't have any friends anymore. There are friends now. Thanks for playing. And I saw it coming when they did MySpace. I could see. I go, well, how do you know who? Well, you got, never mind. Seriously. So I know. I mean, I'm not. They look at it and they go, Ernie, wow, man, you put your home address at the bottom of every page on Freedom's Phoenix. And my thought was, yeah, I want the good guys to know where I live too. I mean, it's like, you're going to be saying, well, don't be a butthead. You're that worried. They'll be out there screaming about, come shoot me or something because I'm a jerk. I mean, how about that? So I'm just, I don't worry. I know all the, they, them, those know where I live, and they don't need to look on the front page. So I'm just like, man, if you're living a life, you got to worry about that. You got other issues.
Yeah, I wouldn't think for a minute that they wouldn't shut down all communications, internet, phone, everything. But, there was an article about
it. Or just delay. Rights delayed, rights denied.
There was an article on Freedom's Phoenix. I didn't read the whole thing, but I saw the headline and read a few paragraphs about there's somebody putting up a satellite that would give free I think it's cell phone or internet or something to everybody on the planet. I mean, they just would
iridium.
Have that. Yeah.
And
okay,
outer
that's
net.
What it is. Yeah. So,
and,
I mean,
you know, and well, I don't think iridium's
the tighter,
free, but
the tighter
net.
They tighten their fists, the more star systems slip through their fingers.
Yeah.
Always get, life finds a way to just deal with it, you know?
So I'm, you know, I don't want to help them or defend. No, no, we must all join something, you know? And, oh, I was talking to my sister. Oh, yeah, you know, at the summit, I found my father went in the hospital. And wasn't unexpected, and we're dealing with and coping. Fortunately, I'm going to Texas, where they're between, well, they're about half, 45 minutes northwest of Fort Worth. So I'm going to Austin for the Texas Bitcoin Conference. And I talked to my mother and my sister and everything. I'm going to go visit and, you know, what's up, and we'll take care of business there. But the... The main thing is that they have really put a lot of dependence on Facebook, my sisters and my nieces and nephews. So any news that you find out, well, they're on my Facebook. You know, so I talked to my son over this weekend. He went to, you know, funny car, drag racing, bring your camera. And he took my grandson, his son, you know, little Corsair, and they went. He's only, three and a half or something, right? But he's a smart kid. He's like, you know, I watch Cars 483 times, you know. So he wants to go and see, and they're loud. I mean, you have to hold his ears kind of thing. It's one of the, so he got a bunch of pictures of them there and him posing in front of cars. And I go, hey, well, send me some pictures, man. What up? So he said, well, I land at the airport. I go, okay, all weekend, I want to know is about what happened in the NASCAR thing. So he sent me some pictures and so on. Well, he goes, and then the last thing he goes, all you got to do is just go look at my Facebook. And I go, seriously? I got flip off. And all those pictures now belong to Facebook.
Yeah, well, that's where I find out what my kids are doing.
I know. They go, well, you.
Still.
And Sherilyn, my sister, I was talking to her, you know, about going to Texas stuff. She goes, yeah, did you know that Byron, your nephew, you know, had a baby girl, I think. Baby. Okay, I don't even know. You know, I can't even remember. We were talking about
that
stuff.
I knew she was expecting. We've been
busy. No, she's a couple weeks old.
Oh,
you didn't, okay. What? You don't love me? You don't look at my Facebook? Hey, we announced it. We told you. I told you. It was in my Facebook. And I'm going, you guys are killing me, man.
We're slackers.
Yeah, we don't, you know, if Donna didn't look at Facebooks, I wouldn't know anything. You know, I go visit with my nieces and nephews and stuff and my aunt and uncle and they're like, oh, I saw, you know, you did the kind of, how the hell do you know? It was on Facebook from the Freedom's Phoenix feed. You know, so they, you know, it automatically goes in from the whatever, and they know what's going on more about, you know, stuff than I do just by reading Freedom's Phoenix Facebook. And I'm going, you know, this is not right. Seriously, you know, this, if that's your, and it's not even, you don't hold it. They changed the terms and conditions. I totally agreed. All right. You know, that Facebook owns all my pictures and videos and everything now. Oh, that's what it was. Corsair says, go look at my Facebook so you can see the video.
Oh, okay.
Can I just see the vid? Do I have to go through? Search?
Yes, you do.
I know. That's it. These guys are sucked in, man. And I'm going, this is going to be a rude awakening. And I just want to be on record and go, Neon, I freaking told you so when this happens. And when's it going to happen? When you need to get hold of people the most. When you want to know who is, you know, kind of in their ads. Because you're an ad or you're not an ad, you know? So they go, well, how do I go? Let me tell you how I see it. You show up. It's like when we run a restaurant. You know, I've been in the restaurant business and everything. And somebody walk in the door and you go, oh, my life just got better. Oh, say, yay, so-and-so's here. Or somebody walked in, you go, yay. yay. They're here. No.
We have equal amounts with those people.
Yeah, we're going, yay. You know, no, mostly we associate with good people. You know, so it's like, you know, you're an ad. So that's the thing. You're ad or subtraction. Maybe I don't want your email, you know. But this is, we're going to make a big deal out of that. We want to be able, when things happen, at least an email. I mean, not that they can't shut that down, too. But, you know, it'd be better to even, oh, my goodness, have an address and a phone number. Now, you don't want me to know where, you don't want to get in contact when you need the mode? You don't? You don't? Okay. Give all your information to Zuckerberg. Let me know how it works out.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda. But now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened. Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free. I want to break free from...
Welcome back. Yeah, a lot of these pictures from the summit are dark. We got a lot of good ones, you know. There's Patrick Byrne and Cody Wilson and Charles. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And this is what we did. We set up a media room to for all the guys to do interviews. You know, you had Pete Iyer and John Bush and Megyn Kelly and Dobbie Barker and Drew Phillips. And they're, you know, everybody, you know, Cody Wilson and Patrick got very, very, you know, Shanghai'd. Patrick Byrne, they in there, and they just had him. They just go, well, question after question. I go, man.
He was very gracious with his time.
He was very nice. And Bobby, the lady that was with him, she was awesome, too. She came, the first thing she said, she walked in, she goes, it's very feng shui, you know? And I'm going, yeah, we're all about peace. You know, it's all good. You know, I didn't even think of that. And one of the reasons is, you know, feng shui is a big thing. Remember Jim Sharp, you know, he and his wife, they're real big on their house being feng shui. And one of the things is it's just the emotion, the feeling that you get in when you walk in. And a lot of it has to do, I think it's a red door thing. You know, the color of the door you go. And I thought about it after she kind of took me aback. I'm like, you know, that really wasn't, you know, I was going for. But yeah, I do have a balance. I mean, you know, it's kind of, you know how I am. You know, it's like the emotional thing. But it was the big red banner, the poster. You know, the original cover. And that kind of sets the tone right there, which is kind of what I was going for. And we had in the lobby, if you see the summit, you saw the little Freedom Summit banner logo that would go on the podium and so on. And we had two big banners. One was the original e-zine first cover, and that Scott Beezer and I worked on. And it was just, I love that poster. The other one was one he did. It was the anti-war one. And so all the guests, there's all these kids full, it was a packed hotel, and there was a soccer tournament or something going on. And so you got all these teenagers, and they're seeing all these iconic pictures of the war and then the peace breaking through, and you have to see it. But it's, I don't know if we have pictures here, but it really had an impact, and a lot of people were commenting. Then Drew said he was, it was like the last night, a Sunday night, and we're all just, you know, packed, and we're just sitting there drinking and chilling out and decompressing. And he said he's getting into arguments with this one woman in the bar that wanted to know who the misogynist, you know, freaking chauvinist pig that did that silhouette of that girl, you know, buxom girl cutting barbed wire kind of thing. You bunch of, you just, you know, you men, you know, and we're like, wow, seriously, you know. And I go, did you argue with her? Did you go for it, Drew? Come on, man. You know, and I think he just, yeah, whatever. But but what, there is a story behind that. The approved art that I did, I mean, you, that's a big thing. The first cover, I really, you know, how, you know, a little wider in the hip, you know, more of a woman, not a girl. You have how, what's the hair going to be like? What's the breast going to be like? You know, a little bigger, a little smaller. And I had final approval, and I sent it to Megan Duffield. Just, we were doing something about Silver Circle and artwork, and I sent it to her. Hey, look, you know, this is going to be the new cover. And immediately she sends back an email. She goes, seriously? You got to have the breasts that big? Seriously? You know, and I'm going, and I looked at it, and I go, yeah, they are bigger than the ones that I approve. What up with that? So I send it back to Scott, and I go, yeah, Megan's all over this, man. I don't know what, how did that happen? He goes, damn, I didn't think you'd notice.
Guys always notice.
He added, you know, just a little bit. Hey, we'll just put a little more around in here. And I'm going, yeah, it's getting a little distracting there, you know. But so he toned it back a little bit. But this is what we wanted. I mean, you know, that's a. So, and they go, and who is that? It's Donna, of course.
20 years ago.
Like, 30. It's Donna, 20 minutes ago. It's Donna. Hell yeah. Who's your fancy woman? My wife, as far as you know.
That's nice.
I mean, and the correct answer is.
That's it.
You damn Skippy. I am walking into that one. So this is, we're just going some of the pictures from the summit, you know, and just, you know, hanging. That's when we, during breaks and stuff, and had time to, you know, take pictures. We didn't take a lot of pictures during the summit, just to, you know.
I tried to get all the speakers. At the very beginning, I wasn't even able to because I was just buried in work, but I tried to get a picture of all the speakers. And I think what I don't have, James does, so.
Yeah, did you, I think he said he has an edited file.
Oh, okay. I don't have it yet, but I'll email
him. Email him, you know, do that. Oh, yeah. And we talked about your weekend a little bit. Let's see. I went to Pennsylvania Libertarian Party convention, and it was their nominating for, you know, governor and, you know, and officers and, you know, another election cycle of. And James is, he's really concerned about, you know, they gave, last year, they gave a party unity award to a guy that was a child molester because he brought everybody together to get rid of him as an officer.
That's eternal optimism.
Yeah, I know, it's just only James, you know, like, it had this guy as an officer, or chair, or something, it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, James always takes care of business. He does whatever he wants to do, and he has, you know, a good crew there. He really loves Philadelphia. And, but Lord knows why, with the freaking minefield of potholes. It made the news so much that it was on the cover of Freedom's Phoenix last week or something. Got dump trucks falling in, you know, potholes and so on. And these potholes here, you'll see, oh, it's a little pothole. I mean, it's like, you know, 1-2 foot in diameter. It's got a little bit of water in it. Well, they avoid them like the plague because they could be 3 feet deep. I mean, it was just, you hit, we had this one little rice burner sports Fast and Furious car in front of us, and he kept stopping all the time. And he's kind of walking over all these potholes and everything. And it was so bad that, you know, it's like, whoa, and what the heck? They were dodging potholes. You know, because they're that bad. It's just, you know, flat tires all over the place, you know, suspension going, it's in the news. And I'm on the plane coming back, and people were talking about the potholes in Philadelphia. It is so bad that, you know, well, of course, they got make work for the rest of their freaking life. I go, seriously, you can't build a road that, you know, doesn't deteriorate? Well, it snowed. Seriously? So it's just a make. And that's the comment that I make. You go to these older cities, you know, like Philadelphia, New York, you know, east of the Mississippi, and it's just like the whole thing is crumbling, the infrastructure. Because what do they do? That's a bunch of money. We're not going to use the infrastructure. We got corruption to pay off and stuff. I mean, and we need to do another bond. You know, we need more money. We need to indebt some more. We need to raise tax. You want to get these roads fixed? And then we'll do it. And then we don't anyway. And we'll do it again. I mean, it's just, I'm so not. Arizona is so, as much as we are on their case, because that was the point that I was making Saturday when I was giving the speech. The side effect, the only, and this is where the authoritarian sociopathy thing comes in, you know, the psychological experiment that Davy Barker is doing. And the point was, is that the only time that the government ever even tries to act legitimate is when nobody gives them legitimacy. Even themselves, they don't see themselves as legitimate, so they try and be more legitimate. That is the point. The second you give them sanction over your life, well, then it just comes out the tasers, billy clubs, and the guns. Bam, 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 bam. Yeah, I rule you. You just said so. You know, I don't got to show you I'm officer friendly, but I don't have to be. You know, Officer Friendly has legitimacy because he's a good guy to protect and serve and everything. You go, nope, he's officer rule over my life because he's got a badge. Oh, I got a badge. Bam, I rule over your life. You just said. So I'm just going, okay, so this is the kind of conversation that I, and there wasn't video, you know, by the time they did the dinner program, I was dinner speaker, and I go, the camp video, there's no video, okay, you guys want the full Monty? Yeah, give it to us, man. Boom! Well, one guy had a phone, a younger guy had a phone, so he got like 50 minutes of, you know, so you might got a little bit, you know, that wasn't the full Monty, the full.
It's on YouTube, I'm sure.
The full is at the end, you know. Yeah, I know, eventually, someday, there's always, you know. But, so, I was like, oh man, I was giving it, what, fur. And, you know, a culture thing, don't be a wimp. Because they're always, you know, we got to change the mission statement, the little words here and there, and kind of stroke whatever, and it says, you know, well, we did a focus group with non-libertarians to evaluate the mission statement of what the libertarians are about, and the non-libertarian focus group would like us to word it this way. All hail. And it passes. Yeah, I'm sitting there, I'm going, la, 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 la. I'll say my piece at the end. So it was, yeah, they were very gracious. There was a lot of support. We had a lot of laughs, had a lot of fun, got the standing O, you know, so they were happy, you know, that I give them up for. And then it was late in the night party and talking about, you know, whatever. And so it was a fun time. We had a good time. So and then yesterday, we just chilled, and James Babb had to listen to Ernie inside a closed space. He's like, bring it down, it hurts, man. And yeah, I knew to start bringing it down when the blood started dripping out his ear canal. I'm like, hey, man, sorry. You know, it was great to see all you guys. And Christina, you know, it was great to see her. I'm sorry I didn't get to see your daughters. There was another family there that was awesome.
The Japanese American internment facility was still in operation in the mountains of Northern California. The facility should have been closed in 1945 and its 6,000 residents released, but unfortunately the camp was overlooked until this week. I am happy to announce, however, that the remaining 118 detainees have now been fully exonerated of suspicion of spying for General Tojo, and they have been freed. Next item of business. The president will be meeting with the Australian Prime Minister, Kevin Rudd. Yes, Denise?
Huge oversight. How could this have happened?
Well, Denise, it looks like the camp just somehow slipped through the cracks. The end of the Second World War was a hectic time in America, and it's only natural that we let a couple of things slip in our excitement over defeating the Nazis.
Who was going to be held responsible for this?
No, there won't. In fact, the War Relocation Authority was responsible for the decommissioning of the internment facilities, but that organization ceased to exist in 1946, so no.
This is the Onion News Network.
Did you know that Free Aid is a mutual aid, educational, and networking organization? At Free Aid, we support volunteers who provide first aid. We do outreach to the public about health and safety, and we bring together medically skilled freedom lovers. Free Aid is made possible by your generous support. Donors can receive great gifts like first aid kits, t-shirts, silver dime cards, and hoodies. The Free Aid Silver Dime Card Project is sponsored in part by Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, Freedom's Phoenix, and Don't Tread on Meme. Visit fr33aid.com.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Hancock here in Phoenix, Arizona. I am from Keene, New Hampshire. Mr. Ian Freeman from Free Talk Live, an owner, operator, head, SOB in charge of LRN.FM. Now, Ian Freeman, he was at, you couldn't keep him away from Liberty Forum, and we're going to hear all about it. Ian, word up, man. Tell me what's going on.
Good morning, Ernie. All is well. It was another successful Liberty Forum event. I don't know what the numbers were compared to last year, but it definitely seemed to be at the very least on par. Great speakers, of course. You know, we actually had the attorney for Edward Snowden there, among others. There were something like 60 or so speakers, so lots of all kinds of interesting people to listen to. But, of course, the best part about Liberty Forum is meeting hundreds of liberty-oriented people, many of whom are Free State Project participants, have already moved to New Hampshire, or are considering and or planning a move to New Hampshire. So that's always exciting to see the new faces, because always the majority of Liberty Forum attendees are brand new. And just, you know, knowing that hundreds and hundreds and soon thousands more Liberty people are coming here. In fact, a big announcement, I guess, as far as new members are concerned. I don't know if you know Luke Rutkowski from the We Are Change movement, but He signed the statement of intent this weekend.
Yeah, you guys are big on this intent thing. You know, it's like when they and you go, oh, here's the paper, here's the camera, come on, sign it. You know, and so how is that intent working? Tell the people what that means.
So the Free State Project is an idea about getting 20,000 liberty-oriented people who are willing to be active specifically, to come to New Hampshire to because, you know, we're just too distributed across the United States. There aren't enough libertarians in any given area to be effective. So the idea is to become effective, we have to concentrate. And the question is, can we reach 20,000? And we're almost there. We were over 15,000 at this point. So we're over 75% of the way to that goal. Many of us have moved early. I'm an early mover. I moved back in 2006. There are over 1,500 people who are already here. So we've got about 10%. Who are here, 10% of our current signers are already in the state. We've had people elected, which is, you know, a shocker for libertarians. And normally libertarian campaigns don't get more than 3 or 4%. But here, libertarians are running and winning as both Republicans and Democrats. We're seeing political change in that the statists, the pro-government types, are having a very, very tough time passing anything that is increasing the government. And the there are some bills that are very, very unique that have protected freedoms to some extent, like the jury nullification bill that actually allows defendants and defense attorneys to talk about jury nullification in court. We're the only state of the 50 states that has that, and that was helped along by Free State Project participants who are in the legislature. You know, you add to the political successes all of the liberty media that's coming out of New Hampshire, television, radio, newsprint. We've got all of that, and in addition to that, plus all the great civil disobedience and everything else that's going on here. It really is the best movement for liberty, and I think that that is indicated by the wonderful people that are signing on. Of course, you know John Bush from Austin signed the statement of intent at the Porcupine Freedom Festival last year. So just, you know, the big hitters, the heavy hitters just keep on coming, and Ernie, you're one of the only ones that we're still working on.
Snow. I mean, you know, yep. My wife's from Pennsylvania. I just came from Philadelphia this last weekend speaking there, and I'm going, you know, the potholes, snow, road. You know, that's one thing about New Hampshire, though, is I really love the atmosphere. The roads are in really good condition. The people take care of things themselves. It's a different type of lifestyle. And
I wouldn't say the roads are in good condition. They're kind of crappy, but okay. I'll
I don't
you
know.
That.
When I was there, I mean, you travel. I mean, heck, you couldn't get, you know, it was like a landmines going just, you know, anywhere in Philadelphia. You couldn't possibly be as bad as that. Wow. I mean, they're swallowing dump trucks and stuff. So what happens is I want the people to understand what's going on. The Free State Project, when they first announced this, as early Freedom Summits in the early 2000s, I mean, they're, you know, coming, putting up tables and doing, and it's a big competition, where are you going to go, and finally, and New Hampshire. So we did a Freedom Summit in Manchester, kind of to help and bring attention to and honor and help kick off, and that was one that we brought. Nathaniel Brandon, James Bovard,
yeah,
Ron
was
Paul.
There this year, James.
Yeah, James Bovard. I heard of that. That's cool. And then, we had Vince Aprinowitz. We had, a lot of really, you know, heavy hitters that we had brought to that summit to try and, you know, here we go. So the letter of intent is when you hit 20,000, it triggers something. See, that's why a lot of people, you need to explain, is that we got to hit 20,000. Why? Well, what happens when 20,000 people, you're up to 15,000, 20,000 sign, then what?
Okay, so, and then there will be a 5-year window of time in which all 20,000 will have to make the move here to New Hampshire and get active for freedom.
Are you shoot them?
Oh, no, there's no obligation.
You send them a nasty letter?
No, it's just an agreement. I mean, they can change their mind, I suppose. But hopefully they'll be so excited by all the wonderful things that are already happening here, and they'll not be afraid of the snow, and they'll come up here, because hopefully we can find 20,000 people whose priorities are liberty and not weather.
You know, I'm just the liberty not to have to shovel.
You can hire people for that, Ernie.
Yes, you can. You know, I tell you my thing. I've been to New Hampshire. God, man, it's at least 7-8 times. You know, I really enjoy it. And I spent the biggest snowfall of 2007-08, you know, winter there. I do it, and I still enjoyed it. So we've had a really good time there. My thing was, I was really looking at the tax situation. We don't have this tax. We don't have income tax. We don't have a corporate tax. But you got a bunch of other stuff. I mean, there's still plenty of work for you guys to do there. And tell
us, this is a project. It's certainly not moving to utopia. So there is a lot of work to do. There's no doubt about it. But the Mercatus Center studies over the last few years have shown that New Hampshire is probably the freest state of all the 50, and so it's a good starting point for getting more freedom.
Well,
and
the natives
here are also very freedom oriented.
Well, that's kind of my point. You know, you're going into a decent atmosphere, which we've been able to cultivate over the last couple of decades here in Arizona. But you know, the thing is that when you go to New Hampshire and you have this kind of, I mean, am I required to get arrested? I mean, am I in the street? Are you? What forms of act? When you say you got to be active, what does that mean?
Well, the statement of intent says that you should exert the fullest practical effort. So that means different things for different people.
Yeah.
For some people, it might mean writing letters to the editor and running for political office. For others, it may mean, you know, getting out in the streets, doing outreach.
Just raising your kids not to be communists.
You know, if that's what you consider to be activism, I consider that to be enormous, big, giant,
oh my God, activism. You know, just being an example to your neighbors and raising your children and grandchildren and doing it. I hate to, you know, put, you know, come here and the best practical effort is what I tell you it is. You see my point?
So yeah, one's ever told anyone what to do up here.
Okay. I just, you know, I want you go there. You know,
the Free State Project isn't in charge. There's no boss. There's no, you know, once you move to New Hampshire, it's up to you what you do. Some people move here and they never get social with anyone. We don't even know who they are. And then others are very, very social, and they're, you know, letting everybody know what projects they're up to and what's going on. So there's a whole range and a whole gamut of potential.
Well, real quick before we run out of time, I mean, the people's perspective of the Free State Project, are they feel like you're there to defend against the evil government of, or they think that you need to be defended against? What's their attitude?
Well, everyone's different, obviously. So, I mean, there are some people that are elated that we're here. Other people don't know that we're here. And other people absolutely hate that we're here. Those people tend to work for the state.
The state! The state! You know, you want to, you know, kind of versus the state, a Free State Project. Okay, well, let's go see what. So we're definitely paying attention. We encourage.
Thanks, Ernie.
We want to have everybody on, talk about, and do it. You sign the letter of intent, and it's kind of, you know, maybe you might want to move to New Hampshire because it is beautiful.
This is where it's happening. Thanks, Ernie.
Every time I go, I enjoy it.
How many lawyers does it take
to change a light bulb? Thanks, Ian. You know, Carla's going to be on in the next segment. Donna, go ahead and call her. And,
yeah, she's the right one to talk to about the event. I was, you know, I was working a table the whole time, so I never even got to see anyone.
Well, what did you do at the table? What were you doing?
Freaking, we just, you know, bring out our propaganda and kind of show off what we've got.
Okay. We're going to the Texas Bitcoin Conference.
I'll see you there.
You're going to be there?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm probably going to bring my Comrex. Mm-hmm. And is there going to be somebody in the studio to deal with that or dialing in and work?
Well, if you're on your Comrex, you'll just be connecting as normal. So
okay.
Well,
you know. You're assuming I'm geeky and know what that even means. But the so we'll be trying to use that. Allison Bricker wants to use it for doing her thing. And then, so I'll have kind of a studio set up. Are you going to be doing a studio thing?
That's our plan, yes.
Okay. Well, do I need to bring it then, or is it, you know?
I don't know what they're going to be doing. First of all, I don't want to leave the Comrex just sitting out, so you'd have to acquire it from me in advance of your show. I don't know what this is. I would recommend you bring your own.
I got a little. All I do is just push a button, and if it's, you know, hopefully it'll just be whatever. But will I be able to use wherever you're sitting as the thing? Because I didn't want to set up a table.
I don't know where we're going to be. I don't know anything about.
Okay. Well, we'll work it out. I'm not going to, you know, but I just want to know what you had.
You're welcome to use my equipment. I don't know what this, you know, the status of.
No, I understand. I'll bring all my stuff. Just maybe there might be just a chair, you know, something, whatever. See, the thing is, they wanted me to do, we did a trade out for the summit, you know, for, a booth and all the other stuff. And I go, I don't want to sit at a booth. I tell you what, you let me put up all my Freedom Phoenix magazine banners all over the place, you know, and pass out stuff to everybody, and I'm good. You know, I don't got to sit anywhere. I'll just, you know, have big giant banners everywhere. So so that's what we worked out. And then Allison be there. And then, of course, the Bitcoin Up Bombs people, and they got all their – so we'll have a place to hang. But it's just I didn't really want to – they want me, you know, oh, you can bring the dome. I go, hell no. You know, I no. So we'll have some fun there. And then, you know – you really, you know, we get the Freedom Summit videos done. It was awesome. I mean, this is, I mean, I do it for the video. It's a party and we kind of, you know, I just want, you know, it's the video. And this Bitcoin thing, I had Paul Snow on for 3 hours and like 4 hour bonus kind of thing. And I can tell you, there is a, you know, every Fed on the planet is going to be there with facial record. We're going to take pictures of kind of the Bitcoin Texas thing. I guarantee it. This is where the battle is. Didn't Cody Wilson go this to Liberty Forum?
He was there, yep.
Did you hear him speak?
No, but we talked to him on the air.
Okay. He's a really smart guy.
He is.
I mean, this is, you're dealing with somebody that's thinking 20 years down the road, man. I don't think they really understand what they're up against.
Yeah, that kid's brilliant. I never talked to him before, but yeah, really smart, for sure.
Yeah, no, he's, I asked him one time, I go, come on, you're at least a 160 guy, right? He goes, yeah, about 170.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, this is, that guy's up against it. Hey, thanks for coming on, Ian.
All right, brother, thanks for having me.
You bet, bye.
Bye-bye.
Carla?
Hey, Ernie, how you doing?
Whoa, you're the only one I got turned down. Okay, count to five.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
All right, there we go. Here we go.
While our satellite channel is free to listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with the chip-in on the right side of the page at lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Independence declaring kind of individual, Carla Garrett, the queen of, I don't know, wherever the heck she is, she's usually the queen. Okay, Carla, Liberty Forum, man, tell me everything, go.
Oh, my goodness, as you can hear from my voice, we had way too much fun again, but it was a fantastic conference, great volunteer team, things went really smoothly. We introduced a magazine for the first time, a 54-page full-color magazine to sort of help to showcase what we're trying to do here in New Hampshire. We had fantastic speakers. Naomi Wolf came out. That was really interesting.
Wow. I did not know she was good. What did she have to say?
She actually, you know, she had written The End of America under the Bush administration, and because she does come from the left, you know, there's always that thing of, oh, we're going to hit it up hard when it's the party we don't like in power, but she came out swinging. She's doing an update to The End of America, and she took on the Obama administration and said it's equally bad, if not worse now. So that was pretty exciting. She, in her keynote speech, which she's filming for a documentary, she came out and said she has to admit she was wrong on the Second Amendment and has come around to realizing why people, you know, should be able to keep and bear arms. I thought that was pretty powerful. She also got invited up to the Bardo Farm, you know, that crew up in Croydon,
yep,
to be taught how to shoot. So we're going to see if we can make that happen.
Very cool.
That was pretty exciting. And then, of course, we had whistleblowers Thomas Drake and his attorney, as well as Snowden's attorney, Jesslyn Radick. And, you know, Liberty Forum's one of those situations I'm running around a lot or, you know, catching up on speech writing. But I did have the opportunity to sit in on both of those talks. And Thomas Drake just blew me away.
Tell me who Thomas Drake is.
What a hero.
Thomas Drake, who's that?
He was the NSA whistleblower in the early 2000s. He's kind of, I think, the shorthand way of thinking about it is he's Edward Snowden before Snowden. He, unlike Snowden, actually stayed and fought and won. So, you know, I think he was found guilty of one minor misdemeanor, had no jail time, but this man is a hero. You know, he talked about government waste. He was talking about Trailblazer and sort of all the technology that we now know the NSA is using in the surveillance state. So, you know, he was that first guy who stood up, and under Obama, you know, has charged more people under the Espionage Act than any other president before him. I think he's up to seven now. The last time that act was used basically to accuse people of spying was, you know, back in, I believe, the First World War. So, you know, Obama's definitely ramped that stuff up, and it was just amazing to have someone here to talk about it. In the audience on the keynote on Saturday night, we had the sister of also a former former whistleblower. His name's John Kiriakou. He's in jail, currently serving a 30-month sentence. So his sister had come out from, I believe, Connecticut, and she talked a little bit about him. So it felt like we really had that community of people saying, look, these things are happening. They're happening in America, and, you know, what are we going to do about it? Which, of course, is always sort of a focus of Liberty Forum, and, of course, we believe what we should be doing about it is concentrating together and then just trying to sort of change the things we can control within our own lives to have more liberty in our lifetime.
You know, Naomi Wolf, we followed her revelations to herself, I guess, for lack of a better way to describe it. When we, Charles Goyette and I were over at the Air America affiliate, because of course she was kind of from the left, and she became famous, the beauty myth. It was a book. It was kind of a feminist thing. You know, it's like, hey, you know, they're a giant. Well, of course, you know, she's an attractive woman, but she had a young daughter that she's raising herself, as I remember. And she was like, yeah, you know, she really got a lot of play with the left, you know, for advocating for women equality and different things. And it was all of a sudden she knew someone that survived the Holocaust, in the Nazi Holocaust. And she goes, yep, here it comes. They're shutting down the society. They did this and this and this. And she wrote 10 steps to, you know, from an open to a closed society, you know, 10 steps of fascism. And then she spoke at the Revolution March in July of 08 on the West Capitol Lawn, you know, the big, you know, Ron Paul thing. And right. Gary Franchi and I were emceeing that, and I introduced her. And you kind of see a little snippet of me in their first documentary, you know, thing of me just, you know, Naomi Klein. And in that introduction, you know, I remember of the times that we've had her on the air and her evolution, because I was paying attention. She was really looking for the truth. And right before she went up, she goes, Ernie, you know, you libertarians were right. And I go, you know, what am I going to say? About time. I mean, you know, but the and it's just, it's been interesting to see a gathering. And I tell you what, it's been around all these prepper fest things that you go to and our, you know, the Freedom Summits and the food emphasis that we have. And we had Rosa Corey here, Agenda Democrats Against Agenda 21, all this kind of. And what happens is you're starting to see that everybody's starting to come together. And a lot of it's around food. You know, it's around, you know, basic fundamental, you know, just being left alone and housing and living and, you know, I mean, and children and education and all this. They're starting to see that we have a common enemy, and it's they, them, those won't leave us alone. So what was her, do you remember her speech? Were you there present for it?
I was there, and, you know, she basically updated all the, you know, the torture rendition, the whistleblowing, Guantanamo, those kinds of things. The one step I would say in her journey that really still needs to happen, I mean, she gave a great speech, but then right at the end, she was kind of like, so the solution is we need better, good people in government. Now, of course, you know, we can argue till the cows come home what the right solution is, but I'm fairly confident that's not it. I saw Jeffrey Tucker, who, of course, was also one of our speakers and wonderful, great guy, because, you know, he really emphasizes the optimism of anarchism, which, you know, that we can live free and prosperous under a free market conditions. So I saw he posted something this morning, sort of breaking down her speech and said, you know, but her solution is still the wrong one. And I'm like, it is, but she's on the journey and she's an intellectual, and, you know, it's kind of our job, I think, to help her along on the journey and to really help her understand, and I think she's right there, you know? So I was excited. I've been a fangirl since, you know, the Beauty Myth days. So for me personally, it was, you know, it was kind of like meeting someone you really look up to. We also did a feminism panel with her, which was interesting. It didn't quite turn into a riot, but it was close enough. I think if there had been pillows on stage, we might have had a cat fight.
You can't go blazing over that. Tell me what the issue of contention was. Get to think about it. You're on the edge of your seat. I know you want to know. You know, and who won? I'm sure the queen had her quill crown on. She just do the ram bull butt. I win. You know, so we'll talk about it and see what happened there. Lots more about Liberty Forum this past weekend. We'll be right back.
This is Donna Hancock with Brangus Realty in Arizona. Now more than ever, we have to seek out good investments to help secure our future. The real estate market across the country today seems to have recovered. Inventories are low, housing prices have gone up over the past year, and money is available to lend. But you must be careful to read between the lines of what the mainstream news is reporting. There is a shadow inventory, and the market is manipulated by a multiple number of factors. And we will need to anticipate this flux and prepare for the next market downturn in housing. There are many communities across the country today that have a growing mindset of preparing to ride out the financial storm. And Arizona is one of those places. If you are interested in moving to the desert southwest, where we have 3 to 4 growing seasons a year, and the sun is readily available for anything solar, I will be here to help you when that time comes. Feel free to use my webpage at donnahancock.com to search for Arizona properties that are of interest to you. And please, feel free to call me at 602-828-1819 to discuss options for your move to Arizona.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
I got 2 tickets to paradise. One goes to Phoenix, one goes to New Hampshire. Okay, which one do we? Carla Garrick is, you know, versing nerdy for where you should be going. Well, this last weekend, I tell you, one of the places you wanted to go to, New Hampshire, you know, for the Liberty Forum, lots of great speakers, lots of camaraderie. And, you know, the one thing we left on the cat fight, and we can't just let it go there, Carla. Come on, tell me what was up.
Well, actually, I only moderated the panel, and crownless, I will add. And so on the panel, we had Antigone Darling from Sex, Lies, and Anarchy. We had Karen Strahung, who's from Canada. She's an anti-feminist, so she's sort of a pro-men's rights person. And then, of course, Naomi Wolf, who has written extensively on the subject of feminism. And I would say she sort of took a position, you know, not that she was so much more third wave feminist, but kind of humanist, right, which is, I think, what most individualists eventually end up with. So it was interesting. Definitely Karen and Naomi were kind of getting into it, and Antigone and I were sort of taking a more principled anarchist position. And, you know, it got a little heated, but I think we managed to you know, leave it in a good place. And
heated between who about what?
I mean, they sort of got into the weeds a little bit on, you know, I don't even remember. It was kind of, it was a technical thing, and, you know, people in the audience were Googling stuff, and, you know, there was feedback, but the video will come out, and then people can, of course, you know, go take a look for themselves.
Or fast forward.
It was, You know, we wanted to do, I think, one of the things that we are seeing, which is sort of unique, and it really does give me hope and makes me realize, you know, this is a movement. I personally believe a lot in balance with things. You know, you got to balance everything in life a little bit. That way we all can live healthy, sort of well-rounded lives. And, you know, we saw a lot of women. That was another reason I wanted Naomi to come out. You know, the libertarian movement has, you know, been dominated kind of by men, but then out here in New Hampshire, we have a lot of women involved, and we have a lot of single guys moving out, so, you know, I want to make sure young women know about, you know, these ideas and start to think about these ideas and come out, and that was kind of the goal with both bringing Naomi and then also, you know, having a conversation on feminism. My position was sort of, you know, do we even need it anymore? You know, I don't think we do because it's just another arm of feminism.
Thank you. My thing is that I've seen, because I've been, you know, you and I have been around a little bit longer than some guys, and I'm just, my thing has been this. The lack of women in the libertarian movement was always a complaint by the guys that came in looking for women. They go, hey, there's more women over in the Obama camp. You know what? I'm over here. I support Obama. Why? Because there's like more women, you know? And who wants one of them that kind of messed up in the head to begin with? So, you know, I'm going, as time went on, certainly with, you know, the Levolution and everything, I saw a flood of women. We've never had more women in the movement than we do now. And one thing that's even better is I saw that sexual orientation, gender, race, all that stuff went to the bottom of the give a crap list, and nobody right. cares. And I'm just going, that's a, well, it'd be nice to have more. Well, you know, put on your Facebook, whatever the heck, you know, seeking, you know, not communist women. And I'm so this is, I can see that, you know, from my perspective, same as yours, I think, is that seriously, can we get past this already? I mean, why is this an issue? And is it as much as they, you know, that exchange you guys had, you know, is it really that big an issue, or was it just, you know, an opportunity for them to try and to make an issue?
Well, you know, I think probably for Naomi and for Karen, you know, who were really the ones sort of, you know, taking opposing positions, they obviously sort of still care about that subject and, you know, bully for them. I do think, you know, they might have been left with an idea from, you know, the other participants as well as the audience that, you know, it does fall into the who gives a crap pile. But, you know, the changes in these ideas are also, I think, based on technology. You know, more people have more access to information, and you know, if we can get people with any ism other than, I would say, individualism to understand once there's an ism there, you know, it comes with baggage, it comes with the state, and, you know, you got to think long and hard whether it's worth that for that fight, or is there a better, easier solution? And there is, you know, it's all of us sort of coming together, embracing the ideals of liberty, and, you know, just pulling in the right direction as we're trying to do here in New Hampshire. You know, we have the legislature is in session right now. We're the only state that has banned the use of license plate scanners. That was a pretty interesting one, and it was great. So, you know, they're going forward with a national program now, and they can't implement it here with us. New Hampshire was now the first legislative body in the House that actually passed a bill to re-legalize marijuana, which was pretty exciting as well. That's going to go to the Senate. Not sure what's going to happen there, but Maggie Hassan, the governor, she's a Democrat, and she said she would veto the bill, even though 60% of New Hampshire residents are pro-freedom on this point and pro the legalization of marijuana. So it'll be interesting to see, but we need more people here. That's what we want. You know, I know you were talking to Ian, and he talked a little bit about the numbers and that we need to trigger the move. We really need people to sign up, because once we get rid of that 20,000 number, people will start to, you know, then they're sort of contractually obligated. I mean, it's a pledge. You had asked, and we're not going to, you know, go rendition you if you change your mind. Some people signed up 10 years ago. Maybe their situation has changed. But if you can honestly, you know, look at the pledge and say, yeah, you know what, I could do this. You know, I could agree to the statement that, you know, I have the intent to move to New Hampshire and that I would use my fullest practical effort towards the creation of a society in which max role.
Well, I just don't want a minimum requirement to be get arrested.
Oh, and you know, some people come and they do get arrested. I got arrested back in 2010.
Well, I've had my share of arrests, you know, but I'm just not required.
But it's not required, and, you know, I actually did a speech at Liberty Forum. We did a new format, which was pretty cool. It's called Ignite Talks. So they're similar to TED Talks, but they're 5 minutes long, and they're sort of a little more geeky. And, of course, in my typical style, I had a sense of what I wanted to do, but it kept falling down the to-do list. So, you know, I like to wing things, and boy, did I wing it. But the topic was art as activism. And really what I was trying to get across to people is, you know, if you're going to do civ dis, have a plan, you know, make it fun. One of the things they did at Liberty Forum on the Sunday morning, we were kind of winding down, but there had been this huge controversy here where back in December, there was a state rep who was at the Crown Plaza. There's a duck pond right by the front door of the hotel, and apparently it had too much to drink, and he accelerated and drove over and killed five ducks. So, you know, in typical individual free stater fashion, some people just started trolling, you know, the crap out of it. And, you know, it was Duckgate and duck murders was an inside job, and it just got all this momentum. But anyway, long story short, the guy left his car at the hotel, went to his office. Now, he's a lawyer as well as a politician, so that's two strikes right there. And he was driving a BMW, and I would argue that's a third strike. He called the police commissioner of Nashua. The police commissioner then said he was his private attorney, which was a conflict of interest. He wouldn't let the cops get to him until he had sobered up, so, you know, they couldn't prove it was a DUI or any of those things. Anyway, people kept enough pressure on it.
Go ahead and finish your thought.
All right.
Well, we'll get the conclusion of that story when we come back. Because you had me on the edge. Damn freaking commercial radio. You know, and then we'll go over. I got the list of speakers up here. Naomi Wolf, Patrick Byrne. Oh, you got to meet him, I hope. You know, that was very interesting for us. Cody Wilson, more when we come back. Okay. Did you get to talk to Patrick?
No, okay, so, yeah, just don't say anything because he actually canceled on us, and I think it was because he was out with you guys. So he's coming out for Porkfest instead.
Well, no, we were the week before. I didn't make him cancel.
No, I'm not saying you made him cancel. I think his office screwed up.
Oh, okay.
I think they got confused that there were two events, and then they were like, oh, no, he can't come to this weekend, but he'll come. He's going to come to Porkfest.
Oh, that'll be awesome. That's just his kind of style. He's one of us.
Okay, good.
And is one of us. He's doing this for the right reasons. And the reason that, you know, the one thing, you know, this is what happened. We have Patrick Byrne, you know, big merchant, taking Bitcoin, doing battle with the SEC and Goldman Sachs and court, and he's in $20 million in this lawsuit.
Wow.
So it's like he's serious. Well, he sees what Bitcoin is. It is a challenge to the state. I mean, it is a challenge to, it's for the right reasons. It is a mechanism by which we can, you know, whatever. So he sees it because of its peer-to-peer nature. It's free market Austrian. Because his presentation was a PowerPoint that he really was given his bona fides, you know, his opinion on this is how I came to this conclusion. This is the book. These are the books I read. This is the philosophers that influenced me. This is how. So he was given his resume. And I'm going, oh, very cool. So then, you know, when challenged by whoever, whatever, he's like, no, you know, it's and because who was challenging him? Paul Snow and Rafael Rodriguez, they're, you know, guys heading up this Texas Bitcoin conference thing. So they're wanting to have, well, if we just had wide adoption by getting some government agency to approve us, and even though they can't really fix it, but we kind of let them pretend like they can regulate, and we get kind of regulated, and everybody gets it, and then we're all filthy, stinking rich, and, you know, yay, liberty, and they won't be able to stop it, and we'll just kind of trick them or something. And I'm going,
right.
What?
Yeah, I've heard that.
for.
So this is, so that, I understand, I go, look, I get it, I understand, you know, I get it, you know, and we had long conversations. Well, then Cody Wilson comes in, and I'm sure he was a big hit, too. You know, did he make it to you guys?
He did make it. I had a drink with him, but I didn't hear his talk.
He's one of those 170-plus guys, and I mean,
he's
brilliant, and it's just, and he speaks really fast. He wants to download like your data, you know. It's kind of, you know, man, you got to be paying attention and focused and not drinking, you know what I mean? So I'm going, I'm like, you know, go, man, go. So I just kind of left him alone. He did his thing, and he did a lot of extra interviews with people, and we had a media room, and they got great video and so on, and Patrick, too. You know, Megan Kellison just, man, she cornered Patrick and, you know, put him down and put her knee on his chest, and you're answering all my questions, you know? So I'm, so it was awesome in that respect. And I can see the movement. You know, we did a 3-hour with Tucker. And the only other person I've done like 3 hours straight through like that was Paul Snow. And with the Bitcoin thing, I can see what's going on. There is going to, I guarantee, at this Texas Bitcoin conference thing, they're going to be satellite drone probing, facial recognition on file, license plate, everybody kind of thing. This is the gathering of we. So if anybody doesn't wants to be anonymous and they're kind of the little and don't want to know, don't go to the Texas Bitcoin conference. Because I'm like, oh, you're going to be on the list there. But, you know, so I can see the battle. And it's Liberty Forum and, you know, the stuff that's going on that is where it's, let's talk about that. Here we go.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Energetic as Carla and I both are, you know, it's like, you know, it's still kind of a peaceful, easy feeling. We're just chilling. You know, it's not an angry, you know, volume. It's a weird chilling volume. And that's one thing. Oh, imagine this. I was in at the Pennsylvania LP convention speaking this weekend, and James Babb, you know, comes and picks me up and, you know, takes me back and everything. And he's inside a closed environment in a car with Ernie. Yay! He's like, hey, man, it hurts. My ears are bleeding. Make it go down. So, you know, it's and I can imagine you driving around with Carla, you know. No, I can't imagine. I've done it. And, you know, it's the same kind of thing. You know, how does your husband handle it, Carla?
I'm actually surprisingly quiet unless I'm pimping the Free State Project.
Oh, no, you pimper when it comes to that. That's damn Skippy. You know, this is...
But I did quickly want to finish the duck story, and then I guess we
Yeah, go.
So the police commissioner in the end actually has to resign. So I see it as a win every time, you know, we apply accountability and transparency and someone actually, you know, does the right thing and falls on their sword. So to circle back to the artist activism, a bunch of individual Free Staters decided they were going to do this duck vigil on Sunday. So it ended up with, you know, a crowd of maybe 20, 30 people. We had some press come out as well. There was a very solemn ceremony for the ducks, and then we kind of marched up the hill with our candles to the duck pond and sang Amazing Grace. And that's the kind of fun civ dis. I mean, I guess we weren't really breaking any laws, but sort of, you know, if you're going to play to the media in a certain way, which makes sense. I mean, we've done.
Did the media cover that? And you got the media to cover that?
They came out. I haven't seen any stories yet today, but you know, I, you know, and it's sort of like what the Keniacs are doing with the Robin Hooding. You want to do something where there's, you know, a little hook or a little appeal to make it fun, because, you know, you're smashing the state can be really frustrating. So the more fun we can make it, and I take a book out of, you know, a page out of your book, You Have Always Said It, you know, and you've done some amazing, great things over the years. And, you know, I just want people to, you know, see us as at least, you know, yes, we're here, and maybe our ideas are a little scary to people, but, you know, if they can see that, you know, we're for the most part harmless as well as educated, then, you know, that's steps in the right direction.
You know, I think there should be more of that. You know, I mean, that's kind of where, You know, I love Ian. You know, he does great work and everything. But he's like, you know, oh, you're not going to have movement unless you're in their face tapping them on the sternum. And a lot of times that's true. But I don't want it to be like a requirement. You can, you know, I'm like, you know, if you got people mad, you weren't creative enough, you know, in coming up with something. You know, like, yeah, we, same thing, they're doing this taxpayer-funded, you know, when they did the baseball stadium for the Diamondbacks. So we had a big, giant Diamondback barbecue. I mean, we actually cooked, you know, Diamondback rattlesnake. So we had a local butcher, they ordered a bunch, and we were just sitting there cooking rattlesnake for the first time on the grill, you know. So we, you know, we had these kinds of, you know, fun things to do, but it is getting serious. And a lot of times, that's all the more reason to keep it light, because they have no problem with showing up with their armored whatever, you know, and their faceless.
Right, and you know, we had that Bearcat situation last year where the city of Concord, you know, lied in their grant application, you know, so the small states are, the way the federal government is sort of infiltrating the states as well as militarizing the police, of course. So we fought the Bearcat. We lost. It was a valiant fight. But what happened is it really turned on a lot of local people to the fact that, you know, they signed, more than 1,500 people signed the petition just in the town of Concord. And then the city council just, you know, went back and said, oh, we're going to take it anyway, after having called the Free State Project a domestic terrorist organization. That police chief has also resigned and is now working security at a hospital. So, you know, you might not win the main battle, but at least down the line there are repercussions. And, you know, we want to keep the pressure on for that. But then for other activists, you know, some people just come. I personally think the act of moving for your principles is activism.
Thank you.
Like, if you just come here and you don't do anything and you're just a good neighbor, that's good enough.
Done. You know, and raise children and have them running out in the woods and stuff and learning how to be, pork scouts.
So I had an interesting conversation with someone once where they said, well, children naturally rebel. So if you raise your kids with a freedom philosophy or a libertarian philosophy, they're going to turn into a commie or a socialist. And I was like, no, look at someone like the Freedmans, right? Actually, when you raise people with truth and with principles, they stick to those because the universe actually makes sense. Like, you don't have to have the giant question mark, which is what socialism or statism is. You're constantly like, wait a second, why am I being forced to do something I don't like?
I know. It's just they want a confusion. You know, now it's gotten to the point, Carla, to where I don't think they have to convince us any. They can't. I mean, it's so obvious that they're so full of crap, they, them, those won't leave us alone, that they just need to confuse you. They want you to think that you're the only one that sees it and all your neighbors are stupid and they voted for, you know, I want to be ruled kind of crap. And they go, yeah, you may be the, you know, only smart guy, but everybody else is stupid. And I'm thinking it's getting to the point where people are going, nah, I don't think we're that stupid. And I just don't trust your election computer, Daylight, who gives a crap what you think, you're still voting. I mean, you know, so I can see it's a cultural thing. And that's where the Free State Project, I think, has the most impact, whether you move there or not, just being a beacon. And I really enjoy the things that are done, especially when it has more humor. I hate having to see another person got erected, another vigil, another fundraising thing, another attorney, scouring for, and, you know, another. And Pete Iyer was out here for the summit. We got to show him a bunch of different farming stuff and go see off-grid living. I wanted him to see different things. You know, we just took a day and a half and just kind of, you know, gave him what for. And I just wanted to put that, it wasn't trying to, you know, snag him from you guys. It was just trying to implant in his head what can be done. We're already doing it. And I'm going, no, we've been living off grid, you know, different people. This guy's 12 years. This guy's 10 years. This guy, you know, this is done. And this is, you wouldn't even know that they were off. I'm going, I'm telling you, this life is already here if you just embrace it. And what I'm looking for is the fun in it and make it, you know, you don't want, hey, let's go to the Coliseum so the lions can eat us. I mean, you know, I'm just, you know, why would you do that? So I'm looking at the opportunity to inspire people. Carla does that. James Babb in Philadelphia does that. I love working with anything with James, because I already know before he even finishes, he's got a smile on his face. He already knows what's going to happen. And that was what I got from Patrick Byrne, Cody Wilson, and a lot of these other actors out there. They're thinking way ahead of the curve here. And, you know, and Cody, did you get a, you know, what was your sense of him, you know, having a drink with him, saying, yo, what's up?
He's a super, super smart guy. I'm hoping, you know, he'll seriously consider coming out here. I unfortunately missed his talk, but I had the opportunity to introduce him to, other off-the-gridders who are just starting a gun manufacturing business, Sholin, which is basically like armed monks, I guess. So they had a fantastic conversation. You could just see the excitement in everyone's eyes. He was like, ooh, can I go see it? You know, they're doing AR-10s with hand finishing. So, you know, the boys went off and did their gun stuff, and they all seemed super excited. I would love to have Cody come out again for Pork Fest, which will be June 22nd through the 29th. I assume you guys will be out there because, you know, I love seeing you. And, I think what's also happening, you know, with someone like a Patrick Byrne from Overstock.com who will be at Porkfest this year as well, you're starting to see, you know, business leaders and, you know, kind of big names and deep pockets kind of step forward and say, you know what? I believe these things too. And that means that the message is starting to resonate where they actually, in air quotes, feel safe to come out, right? To say,
well, they just have somewhere to come out too. I mean, they say this stuff. They just, you know, they're in the wilderness out there looking for Carla. Carla, somebody talk to me.
Well, I'm here in New Hampshire. Come join.
You know, this is, you know, thanks for coming on and, you know, talking about this. I think, you know, you and I and a lot of the guys, we know we're on the right path. We know that it's a law of attraction, quantum reality, whatever you want to call it. You just, you know, don't be afraid. And all these people just start coming around. This is the battle. It is a cultural thing. It is a mind-meeting thing. It is they, them, those that won't leave us alone versus those that just want to be left alone thing. It's culture. And that was kind of my thing in Pennsylvania this weekend. I just go, look, man, you guys don't get it. This is already happening. You know, U.S. News and World Report has a big story about, you know, young libertarians aim to be players in 2014. Blah, blah, blah. And it's all Ron Paul and Nagel. When they talk young libertarians and elections in 2014, the Libertarian Party doesn't even come to mind. Why? Because they are afraid. We're not afraid.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com, constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the years has already happened.
Yeah, I need to get that commercial in the archive. So what's the next thing for you guys? Just Pork Fest?
We have, the next big thing, is Pork Fest. I mean, there are a couple of, outreach things I'm going to be going to. It's interesting, you know, the AFP just opened up here, like an office. And
ASP, what's that?
The Americans for Prosperity.
AFP. Okay. All right.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's Coke money, you know.
I got intimate, close, long time here in Arizona. It's going to be a con push. This entire thing is nationwide. There is I had a discussion with, that's a long story. Bottom line, this whole thing. They're going to try and bring the Liberty Movement and use the campaign for and the students of and the 10th Amendment. We're kind of support of this kind of states' rights and everything. And we need to be ruled by our local state leaders that will meet every year to do an Article 5 convention of the states that we get and kind of change and build and craft. And that damn Constitution's in the way and balanced budget and whatever the hell. And it's all about a con. You watch.
Okay, yeah. So they're doing a Freedom Summit for the first time here in New Hampshire, but they're bringing in like Newt Gingrich and, you know, like big slimy politicians.
Yep.
But, you know, I want to see if we can kind of at least, I don't know, co-opt that for some media. And then, so we have Porkfest in June. Then Ian does his Keenvention out there in Keene last weekend in October. Ideally what I would want is every month that we have some event, but that it's not the FSP proper, like it's not me organizing it, but it's local, kind of like what Ian's doing in Keene. So like Bardo Fest, where it's primarily music. I want to start a film festival, you know, so we just got to kind of ramp up and build it up. But I just barely am recovered. In fact, I'm not recovered from Liberty Forum, so I'm probably not going to do much today.
I know, I'm hip, man. We need, Donna and I have been talking. We're 14 hours a day every day doing that. Can we cut it down to 8 hours a day? It's like a vacation. So, you know, so that's what we're doing. Get in contact with friends and kids and stuff that we, you know, we just want to be connected with all our people here. We need to have another party just to chill. So I know exactly how it is. But I tell you, the Freedom Summit, I was getting cancellations for people. We had a bunch of, the name tags there. And I'm like, what happened? And it was the weather. They were canceling flights 2 days before the flight. And I'm going, what the hell is going? Because they got people sleeping in airports all over the freaking country. And here in Phoenix, it didn't even occur to me, you know, how all the storms everywhere. So I'm going, okay. Well, at least they paid. But anyway, so it was intimate. It's what the Freedom Summit always is. You know, we keep it everything in one room. It's small. It's a lot of, but it was too long. I mean, when I asked all these speakers, they all said yes, and I went, damn. So I got to fit them. And I think the next year we're just going to do, you know, the Friday night pre-summit, and then the Saturday night event, and then the party, and then we're done. And no Sunday, because I was dragging butt, man, big time.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I mean, we kept Sunday pretty low-key. It was just the duck vigil. There was, like, one Ed Hutchinson talked about GOP stuff, and they had some church things. But, we had the same thing just with, you know, the flights. Ben Swan was supposed to come out, and then based on just weather everywhere, we didn't have the opportunity. You know, we couldn't get him here in time for his slot, and we didn't have enough time to put him somewhere else. I also learned that he was coming here to do like a fundraising pitch, and I was like, that's a little tacky. So,
yeah, I mean, who was the fundraising pitch?
It was Ben Swan.
Oh, yeah. He's, you know, we've had him on several times, and he just bailed on the last interview we were going to do, and then we haven't been able to reschedule. I don't know what's going on there, but, you know, whatever.
They're disorganized. I mean, part of our deal with him was to do a promo video. The first one he did, he had the name wrong, and the second one he did, he had the dates wrong. I was like, that's not good enough, you know?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, you know, but he's under a lot of pressure. He's trying to make this a money-making, they saw some opportunity kind of we're going to capitalize on, and it's just, a lot of these guys, they get the bug, you know, and I don't think they really understand how decentralized everything is. And it's
that, and also how fucking hard it is to make money in this movement.
Right. You know, and I took a hit on the Freedom Summit. I had to give up some silver on that one. But, you know, it was so worth it. And it was for the video. And this, they're going to be awesome. And Red Pill, I knew they had to do Liberty Forum, all this other stuff. And I, you know, we can rush it, have it done by the end of March. I go, no. We'll do April 15th thing or something like that. I want the quality of the video. You know, don't worry about that. You know, we'll get to, because this was a timestamp. There is never, you know, except for maybe, you know, Liberty Forum and Porkfest, there isn't a real anarchist kind of presentation. You know, Anthony right. Gregory was like, well, are these kind of Republicans? I go, you know, you can't possibly be anarchist enough. You're going to, don't go being a slacktivist on me, man. You know, so,
right.
And he really went at it. So everybody went at it, and it was awesome. I mean, awesome. I'm looking, because I never really get to enjoy it until I get to see the video, you know?
Right.
So that's,
right.
We're going to make a big deal out of that. All right, I got to get
going. stay on Red Pill. We've had, you know, they do our stuff, but we hardly ever actually get the videos from them. So be sure to be following up and just checking in.
Yeah, no, I'm, you know, they're busy, and I, you know, but I give them enough time. We'll work it out. I, and fortunately, they're here, so I can, you know, keep my finger on the button. But, hey, Carla, thanks for coming on. I'm glad you guys had a good event, and I look forward to, you know, it looks like I'm probably going to Pork Fest. If you, you know, let me know if you got slots or whatever. If not, I'm hip, and I got to do the show, and it's all good.
Okay, and I'll talk to them. I know I actually owe you silver for the booth, but maybe we just figure out some kind of trade or something, but we can talk about that another day when I have my voice back.
All right, deal. Hip. Talk to you later, Carla.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Billions of years of ground-up bones. Another day ends in the Sahara.
Okay, Ken, you ready?
Earth's largest, most All uncomfortable right. tool.
Let me get a sound level. Go ahead and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Sure, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oil and water, peas and carrots.
All right, here we go.
Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome back to Declare! Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, IA from the BEAUT full studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com, Kenneth Lipp. All right. Now, Kenneth Lipp is a writer, activist, researcher. He's from Alabama, okay, and proud of. And he went to Philadelphia, and he just kind of got to experience it and got the right vibe from. And he's like, I like it. So he's there doing a lot of reporting and so on. His big thing was the Chelsea Manning case, the whistleblowing kind of, you know, this is like, ew. We need to know about a lot of things. Now, he's from James Babb. He wrote this about Ken. He goes, Ken is one of Philly's only investigative journalists. His important case right now is about a stop and frisk, a practice that imposes hundreds of thousands of suspicionless, warrantless searches in minority Philly neighborhoods every year. Over a million in New York City. You know, I mean, it's hundreds of thousands. That's like, damn. Darren Manning is a 16-year-old boy who had his testicle ruptured by a police woman during one of these. Wow. Ken has maybe releasing the name of the police woman soon. We want to talk about that. But, you know, really, it's, you know, the researcher and journalist in Philadelphia. He co-edits the Philly Declaration, which is with his friends, Dustin Slaughter, and they cover local human interest, surveillance, law enforcement, other subjects, mostly in the Philly area. But, you know, it's just, you know, somebody uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. I give you Kenneth Lipp. Kenneth, say hello.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Okay.
I'm going to get a transcript of that introduction for my own bio.
Yeah, well, you're going to have the files, you know. I mean, you know, did you get the video and the audio? You know, yeah, I think I'm pretty much on. I mean, you go to Philadelphia for whatever reason, you kind of fall in love with the city of brotherly love, and then you want to put your skills towards covering, you know, the issues that are important to you. What is important to you?
It's interesting you brought up. By the way, are you having that echo too, or is that just me because I have my volume up?
It's probably you.
Okay, I'll turn my volume down a little bit. So you mentioned the Chelsea Manning case, and that was kind of my big thing. I didn't provide an awful lot of coverage of it, but that, you know, that was really what brought the passion out in me, so sort of the vocation to be a part of providing information to people when they need to have it. Because of the collateral murder, the video that was part of the releases that Manning put out of the journalists, the Reuters journalists, photographers being machine gunned, gleefully, really. You know, by a group of soldiers. And the Army had refused to release this video. Reuters had tried to get it. And Manning was essentially prosecuted for embarrassing the United States government, or providing transparency, showing what the U.S. government was doing, which is something they should be ashamed of. So my passion really is to provide good information to people. So it's not always just about, you know, getting the documents or whatever. Sometimes it's about just looking at all the information I can that's available and providing what I think is a crafted and
But you publish it where? I mean, this is, you know, and during the break, we'll do a reconnection for the Echo. We're getting some of it, too. But it's a Skype thing, you know. But what happens is that James Babb has such juicy, good stuff. It's just, where do you release it? You know, who do you talk to? Who do you? And then I start to see, I was at the Pennsylvania State LP convention this weekend, and they have actual different newspapers that are published by, they're starting to grow. They're starting, and we're starting our own newspaper we've been working on for months. We'll probably publish within the next 6 weeks. And I'm going, and we used to do that. We had all through the 90s up to 2004 before we started Freedom's Phoenix. We did a print newspaper, you know, and I tell you, you just go Western Libertarian paper, and you'll see the PDF of it there with, you know, the boys. Like 2004, we had Larkin Rose and Lou Rockwell and Ron Paul and Charles Goyette and Bumper Hornberger and James Bovar and Vince Soprano, which, I mean, on and on and on. The boys, and the newspaper just kind of went away. It's Facebook now. And I'm going, yeah, but then it's all Facebook. They got all your database. You don't know who the heck you're. So newspaper. I am really thinking we're going to be able, the kind of work that you do is we're going to be able to reintroduce the entire liberty movement and the things that really need to be talked about in the newspaper, and that will drive talk radio and what gets covered and politicians and activism and people doing and being really informed, because the media is so bad that they need people like you. But who do you write for? Where do you get published? How does that happen? Tell us about that.
Okay, so interestingly, Facebook, social media, these new tools that have taken over print media an awful lot. So anybody can get $25, I think $19.99 or $25 to purchase the domain phillydeclaration.org, and anybody can learn WordPress and make their own blog. So it's actually, you know, in a way, of course, that makes it's easier for anybody to be a journalist or a publisher. But at the same time, it's so much harder to be one, because anybody can do it. What do you have to offer that's any different? You don't have the resources. We certainly don't, to compete as far as special effects, and sometimes often really the kind of access that big publications get, because there's a difference between walking up to a public official or presenting a public official with embarrassing information. Me, they can deny it. I'm Kenneth Lipp with the Philly Declaration, and then they refuse to speak to me, even though I have very, very damning evidence. I published in my Philly Declaration online blog that they refuse to talk to me, even though I have very damning evidence. But the New York Times, I'm the New York Times. If you don't speak to me, I'm going to publish in the New York Times that I have this information. There's an awful lot of limitations to it. What I do is I try and, as my co-editor and I have been, we have tried to independently, through our putting our voice out there, provide information people can rely on. That is, I mean, it's truly independent. You know, I do independent contractor work. I'm an independent consultant and researcher. My wife's got a job in town. Dustin has another job besides the paper. We pay for everything ourselves. We don't mind doing that. We'd love to get paid to do it, but we've put in the work to have a reputation for integrity and to get some attention. We forced some action. I don't know if you want me to get into it now, but I had the executive director for the local fusion center, the DVIC, Delaware Valley Intelligence Center, showed up at my house at 11 o'clock in the morning one day.
You win. You win
with a privacy policy.
Yeah. You win. They haven't come. Of course, I talked to them and stuff, but you know, they're like, Ernie, if we had a problem, we'd call you first. I'm like, yeah, I got a whole pages of they didn't call first. You know what I mean? So I'm just going, you know, so we're coming up on the break here in a little bit, but you know, tell us real quick what the reason you had the fusion center come by and visit y'all. What was, come on, tell me everything.
Okay, well, no, it wasn't a law enforcement activity. In fact, it was so the fusion centers, for the listeners who aren't super familiar, even if you've just heard of them and you kind of know what they are, they're a product really of post 9/11 law enforcement. They're supposed to combine all kinds of different information sharing networks and law enforcement agencies, so the local law enforcement agencies with the FBI, with the TSA, with the Customs and Border Patrol, and they generally fall under the mandate of DHS. So we've got one in Philly, and my co-editor and I have done a lot of research and looked into it, because there's not much information. We discovered they didn't have a privacy policy published online, which is required for their funding under their grant from the Department of Homeland Security. Started hounding them about it. They kept on claiming that they had it. We know that we have it. We just don't know where it is. The inspector's not here. He can't get it. It's in his left drawer underneath his Bible, and he's not in today. It's a Saturday, blah, 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 for months and months and months. Finally, we kind of pushed it. We showed up one morning and made
it. Okay, we don't want to have music over this. We finally, see, we had the Fusion Center. They did the defuse project going around the country. John Bush and Catherine Blythe, before they settled in Texas, did interviews, like 45 minutes, of the head person here at the Fusion Center in Arizona, and people didn't even know there was such a thing. Oh, I want to find out everything. Yeah.
This is Donna Hancock with Brangus Realty in Arizona. Now more than ever, we have to seek out good investments to help secure our future. The real estate market across the country today seems to have recovered. Inventories are low, housing prices have gone up over the past year, and money is available to lend. But you must be careful to read between the lines of what the mainstream news is reporting. There is a shadow inventory, and the market is manipulated by a multiple number of factors. And we will need to anticipate this flux and prepare for the next market downturn in housing. There are many communities across the country today that have a growing mindset of preparing to ride out the financial storm, and Arizona is one of those places. If you are interested in moving to the desert southwest, where we have 3 to 4 growing seasons a year and the sun is readily available for anything solar, I will be here to help you when that time comes. Feel free to use my webpage at donnahancock.com to search for Arizona properties that are of interest to you, and please feel free to call me at 602-828-1819 to discuss options for your move to Arizona.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Who grew up tall and proud in the shadow of the mushroom cloud? Which now voices can be heard to show us louder and louder and louder. What the hell are we fighting for? Just surrender and it won't hurt.
Go ahead and work it out. All right, Kenneth, we got a good signal there. How are we doing?
How's that sound to everybody?
That's much better. Don't be a slacktivist. Okay. So what we want to do is go ahead, and here we'll just kind of make this a little smaller. We'll show your pictures from the town of Brotherly of. Okay, there we go. Now, let's go ahead and talk about the Fusion Center. What we were going on about was that there is a requirement that they have to abide by. We went through this before. We, you know, the Checkpoint USA. You know, Terry Bressey down in December of 2002. I mean, we could see, look, they're going to have all these requirements that they got to do to make them able to arrest or enforce different state laws and jurisdictions of the cop has and stroke form that they put in. And they just go, that executive order, we just because we can, and big giant guns and move in, and it's an invasion. We are occupied. All this, even any little stuff that they agree to, we are going to do this if we can, kind of sort of stroke form we filled out, and you can follow, and what is the policy of, and how, and the people in charge, kind of sort of whatever, know. You're in an occupied territory. Get over it. Oh, and you want the right form? Well, here, it was right next to my ha ha ha. Here it is. Okay, and it's a gun. So I'm going, so you go through this process to kind of show they're legitimate or not, or go, or at least people understand what's going on. And Kenneth Lip exposed something. What'd you expose? Tell us all about it, man.
Okay, well, there's a pretty important requirement that comes with just getting funding to be able to build these fusion centers. To get, it's actually, it's funding from FEMA under the Urban Area Sharing Initiative. The DBIC didn't have one of these published. Now, they eventually did produce one to us. Now, what I was telling you about, Ernie, was the morning that the executive director of the Fusion Center, Inspector Walt Smith, actually a really nice guy, showed up at my house at 11 o'clock in the morning with what really seemed like a pretty freshly printed copy of the Fusion Center's privacy policy. Now, while they, you know, like I said, they did eventually bring one to us here at our door, and they posted one to their website. Something that's important to note is that the privacy policy here does nothing to protect anybody yet. It's essentially functioning just under Walt Smith. They're still essentially, in my opinion, engaging in what's unconstitutional activity, which is sharing private information, sometimes personally identifiable information.
Yeah, blah, 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 but we got your form. Here it is, and there's on the web and the link, and shut up.
Well, your name goes in a file as a possible criminal, and if it's convenient in under certain circumstances, you're a criminal. And that's, you know, so that's throwing your name in a lottery. Maybe people don't even care. They think it's worth it for quote-unquote protection. But that's not the real harm of surveillance in places like fusion centers. It's making surveillance and quote-unquote national security and community policing, all these things are ubiquitous in our societies. It doesn't produce anything but fear. It's not protection.
Well, but they got the right form. You know,
it's very important. Yeah,
it's very, very important to have the right form. We got a permission slip from, us. And it says that we can. So this is, you know, focusing on, that's why I never focus on, you know, stupid stuff like little form. It's culture. It's philosophy. It's what. So that's where, that's just a mechanism to bring up the larger issues. And what are the larger issues? What are they doing? I don't care if they got a form saying they can do it or they filled out the right. I want to know what they're doing. What are they doing that has you concerned and you're following it?
Okay, so the reason we wanted the privacy policy really was to that end, right? We want to know what they're doing. And the way that they've set this up, yes, under their new rules, largely under the Patriot Act, but somewhat under executive orders, many executive orders, some before and after 9/11, it's set up to protect them from us being able to find out. So the first part of that process, yeah, is finding out what they're doing there. So what they've been found doing before is taking activity that is clearly protected under the First Amendment, handing out pamphlets, bottles of water, medics at protests in Chicago is an example. There was a group of about 35 nuns in Massachusetts that were subjected to surveillance for over 2 years. And these are people being framed as violent extremists for the kind of the silliest of predicates in some cases. You'll notice, like, I don't know if you remember from the news, certainly like the Occupy protests a year and a half, 2 years ago, somebody's always got a bottle of pee and throws it. Now, I covered a lot of Occupy protests, and nobody had bottles of pee to throw.
Yes, they did, if they had the right guy covering so they can say and do the 10 minutes of the cycle in the 24-hour, we need somebody dumping something, pouring something, something, and it gets branded that because it serves their interest.
Mm-hmm. Well,
they're wearing the police FBI's boots.
Go to the FBI's webpage and see who it is that they consider the threats inside the United States. There's three big groups. Just go to the FBI's webpage. It'll be under domestic terrorism, and it's going to be environmental groups like ALF. It'll definitely name ALFs, maybe ELF, the Environmental Liberation Front, and Animal Liberation Front. And then you'll have sovereign citizens for sure. Sovereign citizens are really, really heavy in the dialogue right now. And then you have anarchist extremists. And then they'll bring up stuff like Seattle and... there's always pipe bombs, and pipe bombs always look to me in the pictures they bring up like M80s did when I was a kid before we couldn't sell them anymore.
Yeah, no, this is our experience in the 90s when they did the militia thing. We were involved in that, had guys arrested, and it always went, you know, Georgia, Arizona, Montana, Michigan, Ohio, Georgia, Arizona, Montana, Michigan, Ohio. I mean, and then they, you know, incorporate some others and so, because they had, you know, their thing. I mean, it's just a PR battle, and you represent, you know, the other side of this PR battle and credibility of you get some good stuff that you got the Fusion Center guy visiting you. Now, was it to intimidate here? You know, and they staple it to your forehead, you know, or they being nice or what?
Not at all. No, he's actually, I mean, Inspector Smith is a very polite, very nice guy. And I think he believes that the Fusion Center operates somehow in the public good under a very flawed understanding of the public good and policing, in my opinion. He wrote the, actually his master's thesis was on building this fusion center here, so it's tied to his.
So does he go to you and say, "If you only," I hear this a lot, "if you only knew what we knew, then you would be glad that we're here." And I'm going, you know, let me tell you what you know is not really what's so. they make this stuff as they get briefings up. We went through this with the when they do the threat levels, you know, your orange and yellow and all that kind of crap. And he had the liaison to Homeland Defense in each of the states. And the guy here I had on my show, Frank Navarette, I remember. And it's just a political thing. And they need to have command come down, comes down from the top. And then they go to their governors and say, yeah, this is what you got to do. And I go, well, what happens when they say no? They send them to the gulag? What do? Well, here in Arizona, they made her head of Department of Homeland Security. Yay! She did what she was told. So I'm just going, this is, it's so comedic. Well, you need someone like Kenneth Lipp to cover this. And what I really want to talk to him about is, you know, the kind of writer and reporter he is and wants to be. And James sees him as a mechanism. Hey, we got a guy. You know, it's going to write and do some investigative of God. He's going to cover a bunch of the stuff that's going, we got a God. We need to send and kind of communicate with and have it right. We got a God. And I'm like, really? It's always good to have that guy. Kenneth Lipp. Okay, Ken. Pleasure meeting you. I got time to talk now. The what we're going to do, Donna probably told you that all the off-air stuff is included too, right?
Sure, that's fine. Yeah.
Don't go say something stupid. You know, just, you know, FYI. All right.
My ground's not super distracting yet. I think I found a permanent place. I've got a blind border collie, and he can just start booing, barking all of a sudden for no reason. So I'll try and keep him calm.
All right. Now we're good, as long as we can hear you. Here, go ahead and speak a little bit. Let me adjust this.
Testes, 1, 2, 3.
There you go. Okay, now the how do you make – is this kind of producing a living? You got a day job? I mean, how's this going?
So we're not in super financial shape, you know, just not to disclose too much because it's a passion and I'm having to spend an awful lot of my time looking for work too. So I do some independent contracting sort of consulting work. I'm really by trade a researcher and academic.
Well, this is, there is a, do you have a computer that you can do some searching on? I want to help you out here.
Sure. Yeah. I'm pretty tapped into technology.
No, I mean right now that you can go to do a search. Do a Google search on Western Libertarian Paper. And you'll see a link to a PDF. Now, this is what we did before we started doing Freedom's Phoenix and we went online. And we developed the radio show. We have a digital magazine. We're under our 34th edition. We have, funding center and the marketplace and all this stuff that we're trying to build an infrastructure for the future of media is kind of what we're doing. And on Freedom's Phoenix, we have a lot of stuff, but we don't list newspapers and magazines. So I wanted to start doing, we have, you know, broadcast media, and I'm just like, you know, we need to really start emphasizing, you know, kind of like a, you know, Judge Report has all their contact media things they get their stuff from. So I want to start doing that, and that would be include y'all. But we are doing a newspaper, and I'm seeing what's happening is people, a lot of times they don't have bandwidth, you know, to be able to do the kind of surfing, certainly in the rural areas like we would do. They don't have even the question. They don't know what search terms are to even look for. They haven't even heard of the term fusion center. I mean, what? You know, so we're going to go back to what we know works. And I think they're going to start, you know, they have already starting to dial back your contacts with your friends in Facebook and the social media. They're already starting to censor. I can see it coming. So I'm going, all right, we need to get into the newspaper business, and we're going to do that because we already know how it works. And if you got this kind of, it's not just the website, but also that we can publish in a physical paper that will go, you know, nationally to activists. So we need to talk about this because you need an investigative journalist. You see my point? So we're going to be working on, we'll talk about it a little bit here. Here we go.
If you enjoy LRN.FM, please contribute to your favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
One mission.
American way. You know, kind of just, hey, look over here. Looky, 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 looky. Ball's on hooky, you know, and who did it? You know, Kenneth Lippo. You know, this is one thing that I want to emphasize is that what we've always had a need for in the past has been, you know, just individuals that would actually just give a summation. I don't have time. Skip to the end. Give me the paragraph, man. Rock and roll. Give me a headline. Let's do it. And that's kind of what Freedom's Phoenix email dispatch is. It's not, you know, all libertarian stuff. It's just a libertarian perspective. They'll go, why did you put this thing that, you know, Netanyahu or Rachel Maddow or, you know, Wolf Blitzer said of the whatever? Because it's funny. Because you just need to see what they're doing. You know, this is, you kind of got, you know, see, so you could give your perspective. Certainly I can do just with the graphic. Well, Kenneth Lipp is there, you know, just, you know, I'm sure James Babb is just a wealth of information and perspective and look over there and kind of, you know, pull this thread and see what happens. And then you need to have a mechanism by which you can get that out. And, you know, Freedom's Phoenix is good. Web pages are good. You got your social networking. I'm not a big fan anymore. You know, I can see where that's going to be, you know, dialed down to a bottleneck of nothing. And so everybody start getting your database. Start getting your emails. I mean, they will give their emails and their innermost thoughts and favorite colors and all their friends and facial recognition of the whatever in their Google Plus, Facebook, social media, Instagram kind of, you know, here's my, you know, selfie nude. But they, you know, and they won't, you know, share that information with others. You know, are they really your friend? You see my point? So we've been very fortunate that we have a large database of the lot of people that's in the movement and Levolution. It's ours. And privacy policy is they don't get it. You know, that doesn't mean they don't get it, but I mean, you know, I'm not giving it to them. Let's put it that way. So don't ever think it's secure. But we do our best. But the point is, we need to start getting more of actual physical going to events, contact in meet space instead of cyberspace, and people that are actually writing in physical form and putting it on newspapers and pamphlets. We still got the old AB Dick 360 printing press. We're like, hey, man, you know, we will not be denied. They will know. Our neighbors will know. You know, Donna going around our neighbors passing out, won't you be my neighbor article with pictures and what we're doing in aquaponics and the chickens and all in the power and the kind of, you know, boom. Why? Because it's going to come down to that. And who's going to be the guys you're going to count on to tell these stories, to give the emphasis on what is important and a perspective? Guys exactly like Kenneth Lipp. And that's why James wanted me to talk to him. So I want you to understand, Kenneth, how important I see a position like yours, a journalist researcher that can go in, knows what the follow and won't stop, and just give me the information. You don't got to be a butthead, and you be all open about it. Guess what? Keeps you safe. It says, if it, hey, I already posted it to 5,000 of my closest friends. You know, taking me out won't do you any good, you know? So I want to know what your future plans are, how you're going to use your talents in the future to affect what change. Give me your activist strategy here, man.
Okay, so I guess first of all, just for clarification, it's not a huge point, but I would say I'm not an activist. When people ask me now, I just say I'm a journalist. And the reason I say that is because activist has a
agenda,
or active, and I don't really participate. I'm not like a member of an organization or really do actions. I'm an information activist, you want, but I think journalist covers that, at least the way I try to practice it. So my plans are to help people, first of all, use tools on their own. So ones like, you know, local publications. It'd be great to teach people how to put something like that together and share it. Also, continuing to use the internet, expanding the internet to people where they can get it, and teaching people to use platforms that don't necessarily rely on signing up for Facebook. And Facebook does give your information to everybody else, and everybody should know if you're on Facebook, you actually agreed to that when you started using Facebook. So people should be more conscious about that.
Now, I want you to put on your Facebook every single post. Oh, and by the way, go sign up, you know, for Philly Declaration and get with, we can contact and not have to go through and they flip the switch and not, and you don't get to know. I'm like, I'm making a big deal out of this with everybody doing this. This integration into the Facebook kind of what I'm going, why did they spend $19 billion for an app list that nobody even heard of? Well, 450 million people have around the world, and they said, thanks for all the data. Thanks for all the, you know, favorites and most intimate and you sent and your friends are and the network of. That's what the value was. It was all that information. Well, part of that information you need to give to Philly Declaration. If you're living in that area, you need to let them know where you are so you can get when the things go down. It's not turned off.
And where will it be turned off? You know, the birth of, you know, the America, you know, Constitution and Independence Hall and all that. And they would just go, Philly, go brotherly love. Well, maybe not. Flip. And it's off. Philly Declaration. Go sign up, man. You know, do Freedom's Phoenix, whatever. You see my point? You know, Kenneth, I'm telling you, I see this coming. It's so neon flash and obvious. So I'm going to be a butthead about this. You know, you need to take, and this social media needs to also be used to get their email so that you have it. The good guys get it, along with the bad guys got it. What's the point if you're not going to get where you can't, when it matters the most, when they're in the streets, that you're not going to be able to communicate with them? I give you that plug for my self-preservation.
Thank you. That's, yeah, be conscious of what you share, certainly. That's the thing about social media, and this is not... So it's not a secret either. It's not, I mean, police aren't hiding behind closed doors and talking about, hey, we're going to look at people's Facebook pages, but we're not going to tell anybody. I attended a conference in town, the International Association of Chiefs of Police, and a lot of the workshops, the seminars were about just how they were going to do this, using social media as an investigative tool. Executive event planning for law enforcement senior officials. And it's all based on using Twitter and Facebook. And they talk about there, what's great about these things is people don't just give their personal information like names and their family history and members' address, all that kind of stuff. It's they give their political opinions, and then they post in real time video and pictures, surveillance of what they're doing. So a lot of it, they talk about people doing protests and political actions and being able to effectively conduct surveillance and then wait until after an event was over, actually, to arrest, positively identify and arrest a person based on their live stream and them posting live pictures. So think about what you post. I mean, you're posting stuff on purpose. You get to control the information for a large part when you share it. Now,
how cooperative is law enforcement and other media and government agencies and freedom of information? You know, the kind of thing when you call being an old, you know, I'd say new media. I don't even call it alternative media. It's just new. And they're the old, like O-L-D-E apostrophe. I mean, they are the old. The lamestream media, the media that's so last century, how are they in responding to your, are you getting up there and influenced? They're going, damn, just give them the stuff, man. You know, just, you know, get shut Kenneth up. Just give them the paper.
Well, so we go back and forth. My co-editor struggles back and forth. He's got, I think, probably since his first one, he's probably still got his very first RTK out. He's gotten some right to know is the local name of the law for the Freedom of Information Act. Pennsylvania, they drag their feet. We've also gotten huge troves just with one well-written request. As far as mainstream media, the corporations, The meeting I mentioned, the IACP, International Association of Chiefs of Police, one of the meetings I attended, I recorded a quote from a Chicago Police Department officer who gave details of some work he was doing with Facebook's chief security officer to block certain people from the service based, the Facebook website, based on their device ID, like machine address, IP address, and other things. Stuff that hadn't been talked about before. And I published this sort of nonchalantly. I knew it would be news, but I had a lot to go through, so I wanted to synthesize more before I gave an opinion on what I thought he was talking about. And before I had a chance to do that, you know, RT and Truthdig and a bunch of other places picked up and ran the story. And Facebook actually reached out to me before I ever asked them for comment. I think I'll just say a high-ranking executive in Facebook. I'm not sure he'd want his name or position given. And he gave me a two paragraphs for a specific comment, and then he exchanged emails with me, 16, 17 emails for a couple of days, just kind of talking about the situation. So they actually, you know, they'll be communicative if you prove that you've got information and they've got a reason to talk to you.
I'm just like, well, I mean, what, you know, when we, you know, this is, I mean, you just dropped a bombshell, you know, in my lap right there, and we go to break, okay? So I'm going, all right, damn it. I want to hear Facebook had what to say about law enforcement using Facebook about your Facebooking. My thing is, once they start this cooperation with and everything, where does it stop? And we flipped this person off. You know, we didn't give them the bird. We just turned their account off.
When it comes to investing in precious metals, you need a source you can trust who offers you choices and empowers you to maximize your wealth. That's where Roberts & Roberts Brokerage can help.
Roberts & Roberts is a trusted name in precious metals. Since 1977, Roberts & Roberts has been providing you with the finest gold and silver bullion, coins, rounds, and bars at genuine and honest prices. They make it easy to invest in precious metals and work with you to suit your investment needs. In addition to offering gold and silver for sale for U.S. dollars, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage is now accepting Bitcoin in exchange for their quality precious metals products. To speak with a professional from Roberts & Roberts about investing in precious metals, call toll-free 800-874-9760. Write this number down, 800-874-9760. Visit Roberts & Roberts online at rrbi.co. That's rrbi.co. On behalf of Roberts & Roberts, here's hoping your day is as good as gold.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
It's the same old story, same old song and dance, my friend. It's the same old story, same old story, same old song and dance.
Yeah, we're going to take the same old story and we're going to make sure everybody knows it. It's the same old, same old, same old, same old, same old. They're just, they're bad. They're bad. Freedom good. Goodman bad, 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 bad. And, you know, so let's go ahead. He dumped this on me and all of a sudden he's got Facebook, you know, email and exchange and kind of, no, we never. And we're all, and kind of, and we're wanting, God, man, don't tell anybody. I mean, you know, I'm wondering what is the end result here? Obviously, that law enforcement is just going to social media network kind of, and it's more than they're looking at what you're saying and doing and the evidence of, and you got the video and Facebook pictures of, and this guy did and the rest. But it's more than that. I'm concerned about they're doing the algorithm of we're tracking the mesh and the nodes of the freedom, and it went out and no. And we went through this when we did the Arab Spring. We have Haria Phoenix, Arabic translated Facebook and Arabic Twitter. And within 3 weeks, it went boom. I mean, like a week. It was like 2,600 Twitter followers that we had. And then they shut the account down. And I went, really? So we started another one and built back up. But the point is that when it matters the most is when they go, oh, I'm sorry, you're not allowed to talk to your friends, okay? So this is the point that I'm making. And I want the, you know, Kenneth Lip got, you know, in touch with the Fusion Center. They come visit him, knock on his door. Hello, here's the thunk, and they staple it to your forehead. They go, yeah, you want piracy policy? Here it is. Okay, so then you do that. And then you go, all right, and then Facebook wants to have a say. So take it from the beginning there, Kenneth, and, you know, and what? You know, so what happened? Tell me everything.
Okay, so I attended, I think I said in an earlier segment, the International Association of Chiefs of Police. It's a meeting of all, like a bunch of the police executives, all the chiefs and the top-level officers from all over the country and from other countries. So they hold meetings there about how to police best, really how to best spend money. There's a huge 678,000 square feet helicopters, surveillance cameras, drones, all kinds of stuff in the exhibition center here in Philadelphia. So one of these meetings that they had, they talked about how they use social media as an investigative tool. This particular meeting that I was at, I'm trying to remember the name now because it describes pretty well what they're trying to talk about. It was to control and predict mass gatherings, though.
Control. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? Okay, go ahead.
Well, yeah. So they talk about, like I said, they're very open about the law enforcement purpose of using social media. They had a chief from Toronto, one from Milwaukee. And then they had the Fern Keenan, the head of the GBI, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, were talking about how their departments use it. So after this, a man stood up in the audience. The head of Facebook, actually, the head of Facebook security, the chief security officer, was originally in the program to be there but couldn't show up. So they had a guy from the Chicago Police Department stand up in the audience and talk about work he had done with the head of Facebook security to block certain accounts that they determined. I mean, it's predicated on their determining that they are causing violence or being violent, right? So the way it's phrased in a place like Chicago is they say gangsters are using it, and they're using it to kill people. Now, I don't know enough about Chicago's specific situation to speak to particular instances.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. It comes down to, you know, we give whatever justification and excuse that we come up with to shut this guy's ability to communicate down because they say. Why is not even the story. It's that they can. And I'm going, yeah. Who do they go to? You know, the Facebook, oh, yeah, well, oh, you say so? Okay, you're the man, shiny badge, and boom, they're off. This is my point. Okay, this, neon flashing, I told you so, I freaking told you so, I told you so, okay? So now, what does Facebook say about that ability? You know, they go, okay, yeah, they send us a piece of paper, we push the button. What'd they say?
Well, so first of all, if I can, I'd just like to make a real quick distinction so everybody understands. The police department, Chicago Police Department is any other police department, that's a government service, and they serve at the pleasure of the people that they're policing. Facebook is a business, so they don't have to answer to the same questions. They're not under any obligation to protect your freedom of speech. You can just not use Facebook. So
their privacy policy says we don't.
Yeah, exactly. They say, sorry, your information is ours to sell. Thanks for using Facebook. Bring money. So Facebook ends up reaching out to me. I didn't contact them because people had told me horror stories, really, about how they wouldn't talk. Now, the man that emailed me was very, very communicative. Now, he gave me just a kind of a small chunk I could quote. He said, you know, you could say a senior Facebook official had this to say, and that was that they treat all requests, including those from law enforcement, of content that violates their terms of service equally. Now, what's interesting about this response from Facebook is how much they actually give you where I can say pretty much anything I want to about that. So that you read between the lines, which means that law enforcement can communicate that somebody's violating Facebook's very broad terms of service. Facebook can block content or a user for any reason they want to. And it's not like somebody just filling out that box when you have a problem with spam in your timeline. The head of the Chicago Police Department's not Patty O'Reilly, who worked his way up from the beach. The heads of police departments are political figures now with connections. They're meeting with the Facebook's chief of security to talk about using Facebook. So there's a power there that the police are using that they shouldn't use, and that's these special connections, these political relationships.
And Facebook is what? You know, they make a determination that it violates our terms of policy because we have a policy that we can say you're violating whatever we say you're violating, and this guy with a shiny badge says you're violating, so you're violating, you're turned off.
Right, so the chief calls up Joe Sullivan, who's the head of Facebook's chief of security, and says, hey, Joe, I've got somebody who I'm determining is inciting a riot, right? So, and they've talked about how they do successfully use this to stem other kinds of mass gathering. You know, it's in Chicago they call it cyberbanging that they're trying to stop. And I wanted to say, hey man, sorry, cyberbanging is already taken. But in Toronto, actually, and in Milwaukee as well, they use social media, people posting posting information, and then in North California as well, their fusion center there, they use GPS information that's coming from people's devices while they're sending social media posts, Facebook, stuff like that. Then they do what it's called geofencing. Geofencing is kind of a broad term. It basically just means creating a virtual geographic perimeter using somebody's GPS data. But they can kind of create a satellite box.
A blackout zone.
Tripwire.
A blackout zone. You know, these guys aren't out of the community. All of a sudden, you know what? You know, and they're live streaming and you stream and it's right now and I got my quick and it's and it's off now. Okay? Right. This is, I mean, what, do you think that wasn't going to happen? I sit here, I look at this stuff and I'm going, wow, you guys are killing me. You're just playing right into it. So I'm not for gathering somewhere just so they can put me in the orange netting and ship me off to Guantanamo. But I give you a good example. I went to Las Vegas, and they had this mall area. It's kind of an outdoor party to where you can take Bitcoin and get all your drinks and so on. It's a Bitcoin. We're going to have a flash mob Bitcoin. And I go, wow, that'd be awesome. No organization, no, the party's already there. You just go, hey, we're Bitcoin people here. Woohoo! We're going to flash mob Bitcoin. That, and it flipped off. You don't get the coverage of it. We choose not. You're not going to because we said. Why? Because we said. You know, so I'm. This is story. Did you write this story? Is this out there? I can go find it somewhere? A lot of this?
Sure. It's several places. I wrote. I wrote a real long description of how law enforcement uses social media. And then there was something. It's an RT. and There's Something in Truth Dig. I can't remember the names of those titles. Also in Privacy SOS.
Donna is going to send you a email back to her. You got her email and communication with you. Send her the links of this stuff. They need to go up on Freedom's Phoenix, make a big deal out of it. This is neon flashing example of what I've been screaming about for the last couple of weeks, man. I mean, if it's not obvious now, I don't know what the hell you guys are doing. And if you created demand for leave me aloneism, or I get the, you know, believe that I can, they're my friends, you know. No, they're only the friends that my mom will let me play with, okay? They're only the friends that I can go, you know, that she allows me to have a slumber party with. She's only the friends that I, it's like your mom telling you who your friends are. And I'm going, so don't tell me you got friends. You got controlled acquaintances by the man. How far off am I?
So, I wouldn't call myself a libertarian, but I intersect with a lot of, you know, capital letters as far as politics go. But one place where I intersect definitely with libertarianism is this concept of consent. So, I think kind of the message from the way that law enforcement uses social media is for people to be conscious of where they consent. Really, really be conscious of where you're doing.
Okay, we have a new friend, Kenneth Lift. He comes highly, highly recommended by Mr. James Babb, and he's doing some work there. We need to help him. He's got the, you know, Fusion Center saying hello and wanting to, you know, bring over a piece of paper, saying we got your piece of paper and you made us bring a piece of paper, and Facebook going, hey, let me tell you what we do with these pieces of paper, and it comes with a badge and paper, please, and we're good. You know, I'm just, here we go. You know, the quantum reality, laws of attraction, whatever the hell it is, I talk about it. Kenneth Lift comes on. We want to help. We're going to promote, get his stuff up. You read it. Damn. Oh, what did you think was going to happen? There you go. We have some fun. Okay, now this is what I need from you. Please send that to Don and we'll get it up. This is a very, you know, in Philadelphia, it is such a prime opportunity because of James. You know, I mean, he will, I guarantee freaking to you, there's the James creative, I made you look and whatever and had fun and laugh and party and we go drinking afterwards event next, and then the one after that and the 15 after that. Okay. So there is, I guarantee, the kind of, we were driving to the airport. He just took me, I was in Philly yesterday, you know, this weekend, speaking at a thing, and James taking me to the airport, and he has this app called, Wazer, whatever it is. You know, it's like of a traffic thing, and there's a pothole there, and there's a cop there, and there's a guy pulled over here, and there's a, you know, and it goes, you have 1,700 and whatever people, on Waze around you, and they're all reporting. It's kind of cool. But they all know where you are and GPS and kind of turn it off. And I go, you know, this is seriously, and I don't mind if they, I don't care. This is my condition. If they're going to be tracking everything that I do and they're in my computer and looking what I post, fine. But don't be turning off, you know, or making, delaying me be able to use my thing, okay? Yeah. Don't be doing that, okay? Because I need to use my stuff. You want to watch, you look over my shoulder, me using it, whatever. But don't get in the way of me using it, or I'll go Linux, and I'll encrypt, and I'll PGP, and I'll cut your ass out, and you won't get to see. Don't be slowing down my ability to communicate, okay? So that's kind of been my shtick. So they go, so then it kind of frees up a little bit, and it's a little bit smoother. And I go, okay, you know, don't be pissing me off, or you won't be able to get full access. So I know when it happens, when it really comes and they lock it down, it is going to be, Ernie's not allowed to share. You know, that's going to, so we have alternative means. We have the actual print newspaper. That's why we're going back to that. And we have the digital magazine that all 33 editions of our magazine can fit on a little memory key and PDF smartphone. Here it is. Transfer, share it with, and I got in physical, you know, hand, palm to palm, you know, Xeon Flux kind of crap. Okay. So I'm going, this is, it's over for them. They don't understand. It's like the White Rose Society with the entire freaking internet on a chip. You know, the entire Freedom's Phoenix of 200,000 entries, all the shows, everything can fit on one little thumbnail size SD chip. And I'm going, you guys don't get it, man. And we're going, but they'll try. And the fact that you uncovered this and showed this and demonstrated this, I want a story. And we have the, okay, let me tell you what's going on. The Texas Bitcoin Conference is next week. I'm traveling to Texas to do whatever. Davi Barker is going to be doing the cover that we have this week. He's done one of my other covers, too, and it's going to be focused on, you know, Bitcoin and deregulation, and, you know, we're not here for regulation, and kind of we'll be buttheads. That edition is going to be all about this kind of cyber stuff, you know, keeping private, you know, this Facebook thing I've been going on about, how they're and all that kind of stuff. If you'll write an article for the digital magazine, we'll put that in there at just a perfect time where this is going to be, you know, incorporated into, and everybody's going to read it at from the Texas Bitcoin Conference deal. It would be a good expansion of your audience. So if you'll do that story from this perspective, it's like, you know, good, bad, that's not even my point, is that they're doing it and how they're doing it and who's doing it and their conference that they had and a lot of that. And we're just throwing all this database and all our friends' pictures and their favorite colors. And you go, hey, and here you go. And they say, thank you. Oh, and this guy needs to be shut off because every time he posts, it goes viral and people show up and damn it. You see my point?
Yeah. Do you? I mean, is your listenership or the readership, is it very local, or do you pretty much have a national, evenly distributed national audience?
Oh, it's well, it's national. I mean, it's internet. I mean, you know, it's so hell. I don't know. Yeah. You know, lot. I mean, you know, it's the see what I was
Taylor. What I report on the to who I think would be reading it. So, you know,
No, it's everybody. But go ahead and pull this up. Go to your other computer and pull up Freedoms Phoenix, and I'll show you. Just go to Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com, and I'll walk in so you can see the articles there. You got to be a subscriber to, you know, read all the articles. But when you write an article, it makes you a subscriber for a year from your last article. So a lot of people, you know, they'll write an article. Hey, man, I can't get it. I go, well, you haven't written and you haven't paid. Well, if I write another article, can I get another year? You know, so that gives you an opportunity. Now, you go to Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. At the top left, you'll see the bird. And right below that in red, you'll see it says magazine, newspaper, radio, TV. And the drop down that comes down, the second one, it says online magazine list.
Okay, back to the Eagle. Sorry, I just got the page open. Eagle and magazine, got it.
Okay, let me see. It might be a better... Let me try this.
Online magazine list?
Yeah, but I give you a better view of the... yeah, okay. Open that up and then go open up the online magazine list, and you'll see all the months there, and you can go in and see all the articles. When you click into one of them, you can see all of it. Now, open up another browser, go to freedomsphoenix.com, and scroll down to the bottom left. Just take the scroll tab and go all the way to the bottom left, and you'll see the silhouette of the girl with the orange kind of square at the bottom left there, and click on that graphic.
Yeah, view stats, see it.
And then you'll see all these are our covers. And when we go to events, like at the Bitcoin Conference and our Freedom Summit we just had, we have big 7-foot high banners of this, and we have them all over the rooms and stuff. So each one of these covers, you know, depict a theme of the book, you know, like, you know, how to, you know, you're in your own workshop. How would we organize ourselves in autonomous societies, you know, in space, you know, what kind of infrastructure what we have, and, you know, and homeschooling, and our pantry is an aquaponics dome, kind of, you know, that kind of crap. So this is, you know, these are beautiful covers that and they depict a kind of a theme for that month. Well, the theme is going to be the kind of stuff you're talking about, the social networking, the using of Bitcoin, the cyber communities, you know, this kind of stuff. So that's why I want you to write this article, but I need it by, you know, like the end of the weekend.
End of the weekend. I will, if you just want something about Facebook, this is Monday. Sure, end of the weekend, no problem. For some reason, I was thinking it was still like Thursday or Friday. Yeah, I should. I mean, you know, 500 words, probably something like that. Is that fine?
Yeah, we don't have really a limit. I want you to be able to express yourself because it's digital. You know, and you download, if you were to download one of the copies there's a free, the first month is free. You go into the online magazine or that one where you set the, when you clicked on where all the covers are bigger there, at the top it'll say free download of inaugural edition. And you just download low res or high res PDF, and it just goes you read it in your PDF reader on your tablet or whatever. So it works like a magazine on your tablet, like an iPad. You just turn the pages like it was a magazine.
See, my wife got me one for Christmas. It's amazing. I've got a Google Nexus. I'm all Android and Linux myself.
Yeah, I used a PDF Easy Reader. It works really well on that. But the thing is we were one of the first before Martha Stewart and Wired and all that. We're June of 11. We jumped all over this. I go, we could have a magazine. I go, shit, move over, man. Here we come. So now we're going back, and we'll do the same thing, an online interactive PDF version for the newspaper, but we're going to have a physical representation of it, too. And the reason was because we're on satellite, and when I go to the rural areas, a lot of people show up. They listen to me on satellite. They listen to online. They listen, and they go to the site, and they see it. But they don't have the broadband capability, and they don't have a lot of media. And the local little town that they live in, the newspaper is owned by the crony capitalist of the, I got a car dealership and the real estate, and we rule you crap. And if you have a, it's everywhere. Everybody knows this.
One guy owns all the major papers. A guy named Norcross.
Yep. See, there you go. That opens up enormous opportunity for this kind of thing. Did you look up the Western Libertarian paper? Did you see that?
I did. I've got it all set up in.
Now, keep in mind, that's 10 years ago. Now, imagine we do this interactive PDF, like we do the magazine. You have the hard copy that references the online copy that has all the hyperlinks and, the search terms and all that kind of stuff. Then we have an InDesign template for it that you send out to the movement, and you go, here, interchange whatever story you want and banner chain, kind of done. You're done, and here's all the and what's the first one we'll have? I mean, what are we going to do? What's the stories on the cover? What are we going to say? It'd be like maybe Mark and Rose win to shoot a cop and legalize methamphetamine by criminal defense attorney Mark Victor. I mean, somebody might, cause a ruckus. You know what I mean? So I'm going, I can see where this is going. And it's a battle of right when they think they got you, they're going to shut you. Aha, you don't get to communicate and we got all the everybody and you don't and it's ours now. And I go, really? Well, we just went right back to, street pamphleting, and we got the hard print newspaper. All these different little newspapers are freaking out looking for somebody to print something for. And, it's kind of an opportunity. And then all of a sudden it starts penetrating the lamestream. I already know where this goes. Okay? And you get to play an enormous part in that because it's investigative journalists that are willing to do this and have the capability and the research and the right, just even ask the question. That's where you all of a sudden shoot to the front. And it's what happened with Ben Swan. And then Ben got, whatever he's doing, But the thing is I can see it, the resurrection of print media. But it's going to be in the hands of, these guys because they're trying to control wherever the fist of Darth Vader gets tighter, the star systems leap between the fingers kind of thing, So that's what we're doing. And that's the role you can play. And that's why James wanted, make sure that we got introduced, because you could see how we could, have a symbiotic kind of whatever. But you get me that article, and then you can see, we got some skills. We got, going on here, and give you an opportunity to have, along with some really good names, at this next edition that's coming out, published a week from this coming Friday. But Donna's got to put it together, so I need it by end of the weekend.
So so give me a hard deadline. Just at midnight Sunday is the...
Whenever. This is what happens. Everybody does it late, and she yells at me because they're always late. And I go, well, I told them Sunday. Well, it's Tuesday. And I go, yeah, but I told them Sunday, So it's like you want to be nice with Donna, trust me. Okay, she'll love you a long time. Instead of, like putting you in the back of the fringing upside down, you want to, Oh, I made a mistake. It was upside down. You got to turn your tablet over. So be nice to her and try to get it in earlier. And it publishes a week from Friday, but it's really rough on her when everybody submits last minute. And the limit on the words, I don't really care. You go until you're not boring. We had like Lou Rockwell one time. I go, hey, there's a conspiracy edition we did. And we go, all right, man, give me the one, the big, you're big on this JFK thing. I go, give me the one you want. It was 20,000 words. So I go, okay, so I guess, all right, that's the one, So I don't really care. It's just go until you're boring, And if as long as you're not boring, it's 3,286 words. I don't care.
I guess I'm more saying 500 to 1,000. I mean, it's a general
call it like an 8 to 9 paragraph piece. I looked at the format. I write pretty classical form. I like pretty much the whole story to be told in the first paragraph, and that'll work well just with your
own. Yeah, now you'll see the stuff there. You'll get it. You know, it's just it's free for all. But it is a timestamp. You know, the magazines are a chronology of our time, what happened, and is used for like ever. And we put them on DVDs when we go to these different events, and we'll have all 33 editions. Here's the whole thing. If you give us your email and sign up for our free newsletter. You know, because I'm big on this email thing now, even more so now than I have been in the past, because I can see the shutdown coming. They're already doing it. You know, people that have an entire livelihood, they were selling books, or they, you know, were making money off of their posts or their YouTubes, or even YouTube's doing the same thing. They're shutting down all this communication stuff, and we got so dependent on it, and I'm screaming that this is going to happen. It's happening, and then you're up confirming a lot of this stuff. I'm going, Nia, and I freaking told you so. So everybody right now, like Cop Block, I'm on Pete's ass, all the volunteerists, all the activists, all the, you know, I'm going, you better be getting, oh, I got 60,000 friends. No, you don't. Facebook does. See my point?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're definitely the product, not the consumer.
Yeah, so I get it. Well, it's great to spend time with you, and please stay in touch with us. We want to help.
Thanks, man. Hey, yeah, I will get something to Donna. Don't worry, I won't make her stress out. That's nothing. I spend all my day writing professional writers, so she won't have to wait. And I'll tell Jim you said, hey, I'll send him a message right now saying thanks. I had a good time.
Yeah, no, it's been awesome. Yeah, James and Christina and their kid, they're just such good salt. Earth people thing, you know, he's so fun to be around. I really abused him this weekend. You know, I don't shut up, and my volume on the radio, it kind of gets evened out, you know, so I can yell and not whatever, it doesn't matter. But when you're in a car, he's like, hey, blood's coming out my ear, man, can you bring it down, I'm dying here, you know. So anyway, so we had fun Saturday night doing the convention and so on. You definitely came up, and I wanted to have you on. I appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, man.
All right, peace, brother.